This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do, Stan?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What did you do last summer again?
I told you, I spent it with my uncle in Alaska hunting wolverines. They kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Paul Perillo.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No.
Can I have them?
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Freaking idiot.
And Andy. And Andy?
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks.
Andy Hart.
Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Some guy named Tom.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want. Plus, I could be your bodyguard, too. Or like Secret Service captain or whatever.
Sweet.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm 100% positive that she's my soulmate. I'm sure there's a babe out there for you, too. Peace out.
PFW in Progress.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a friggin' idiot?
Welcome again, PFW in Progress. Thursday afternoon, Gillette Stadium. Patriots preparing to take on the Denver Broncos this Sunday night. First appearance on NBC and the new version of Sunday Night Football. Paul Perillo here, Andy Hart, PFW in Progress, taking you through the 12-2 portion of Patriots.com radio here on Patriots.com. We'll be taking your emails, webradio@Patriots.com. If you want to join us on the phone, it's 508-543-7482. That's 508-543-7482. Paul Perillo, as I said, just to my right here in our new and tremendous studio here at Gillette Stadium with one, two, three, four, we got four flat-screen TVs, robotic cameras, all thanks to Comcast TV, which now puts some of the WEEI broadcasts on demand. But we get to benefit from some of these new aspects of the studio. But, Paul, you just sat through Bill Belichick's press conference. What'd you think?
Fancy headphones, too. Don't leave those on.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the new Bose Quiet Comfort headphones that Gary got us.
A typical Thursday press conference, I thought. Not necessarily a ton of news coming out of it. The theme that Bill seemed to, he was asked a couple of questions on, he seemed to expand upon the most was just the Shanahan thing, his admiration for Mike Shanahan.
Fearless Mike Shanahan.
Yeah, and it's funny, you had the same impression that I did when we talked about it afterwards. It's almost as if he's describing a lot of his own characteristics when he says Shanahan's been a guy who has been unafraid to take chances, unafraid to turn over his roster, unafraid to go a little bit unconventional in certain situations.
Even went as far to say as doesn't care what people say or think.
Right. You know, fourth and one, he brought up a situation from last week's game, fourth and one in reverse that ultimately got the first down. So it was, I thought, very interesting. Just the correlations that you could easily make between, Shanahan and Belichick himself. Now, oddly enough, I think the reason why this is somewhat interesting, Andy, is Shanahan is one of the few coaches that has actually had the upper hand over Belichick. And, you know, I believe he's 4-2 against Belichick as the Patriots coach, 4-1 in the last five. The one win that Belichick had in the last five games, the one win the Patriots have had, was that Monday night game.
A fluke win.
In 2003, yeah, where, you know, Brady and David Givens hooked up in the last 20 seconds to pull one out, but they were losing that whole game virtually.
With the
intentional safety
and yep. then the ball that didn't get caught.
Right.
So I don't think it's unfair to call that a little bit of a fluky win. So, yeah, obviously, and Patriots fans have been complaining about it for years. Why do we always have to play the Broncos and it's just one of those
things. In
Denver, things.
They always say.
Right. It's just one of those things where because of the way the schedule works and the two games that are assigned by your one-loss record the previous year, you've been good. The Broncos have been good. So you often get assigned to play the Broncos. But, yeah, as Bill said, some situational stuff, plugging along towards the Broncos game. You just mentioned in the locker room kind of a relatively light atmosphere.
Yeah, I walked. I really didn't talk to a lot of players. I don't think I talked to any players. I kind of listened a little bit walking around, listened to see what people were talking about. A lot of the New Orleans players, the LSU crowd, Kevin Faulk, Eric Alexander, Randall Gay, Didn't see Jarvis Green, but I'm sure that they try to talk to him as well. A lot of the writers were talking to them about New Orleans' return back.
And undrafted rookie free agent cornerback out of LSU.
You know, their return back to the Superdome coming Monday night, which, you know, that's a great story nationally, you know, for all involved to have the Saints have all their games. First of all, they're 2-0, which is very exciting for them in and of itself. But to have all their games sold out, did you see that, Andy? They have season tickets,
yes.
You know, and their season is sold out for the first time. And they're going to return home for the first time in a year and play the Atlanta Falcons Monday night. And I think a lot of the New Orleans players were talking about that and, you know, being from that area. Beyond that, I can't really tell you. It was very lighthearted again in the locker room. We saw Rodney Harrison doing a TV interview, not for somebody. He was actually doing the interview with Ellis Hobbs. He was interviewing for Channel 7.
Artrell Hawkins was in the locker room in the background there.
Yeah, and Matt Light was walking through the locker room. I bring that up only because he did not practice yesterday, according to...
you deemed him okay.
In the portion that was open to the media, he was not available.
Your expert medical opinion, he is fine.
We should give the information out that we didn't have yesterday for the show, right? We didn't know that he hadn't practiced.
Were you here yesterday?
We didn't know he hadn't practiced yesterday when you guys were on the show, and we didn't know he was going to be on the injury report at 4 o'clock when you guys were finished with the show at 2. Correct?
Right.
So I'm just trying to get that information out there. That's all.
Matt Light did him in
and
fact,
yes,
pass
he passed Paul Perillo's eyeball test. He looked fine.
But he did not stop and talk. I mean, he's generally a weekly
he
guy.
He was in front of his locker.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought he just passed right on through and no one, and he didn't speak. Anyway.
Didn't see anybody go up to him.
Chad Jackson's still on the injury report. Questionable hamstring. He was in the locker room, as was the rest of the group of wide receivers. I didn't see Doug Gabriel.
I didn't
Troy
see Doug
Brown.
Gabriel either. And all the receivers came in together probably about halfway, maybe three-quarters of the way through the media period. I saw Jonathan Smith and Chad Jackson. Even Willie Andrews was part of that group. But I didn't see Doug Gabriel come in, which I thought was a little bit strange.
Large group around Ty Warren. You'll probably be reading a lot of Ty Warren stories because he was Bill Belichick was asked about Ty and gave him a nice warm
I thought you were going to say something else.
Reception by Bill Belichick talking about his, you know, growth over the last few years, his willingness to work hard and do whatever's asked of him. And then a lot of reporters spoke with Ty Warren. He agreed that he thinks his game has taken to a new level this year.
I think he's played exceptionally well.
I do,
in
too.
The two games.
But I think he also benefits from playing with two other guys that are pretty gosh darn good.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt that he does. And that's something that you're going to be writing about in a feature for our next issue. Just the strength of the lines on both sides, actually. But with Warren, I got to tell you, for me personally, I've been thinking all along that he's a pretty good player. Pretty solid player. Steady, unspectacular. Was my feeling on Ty Warren. Flies below the radar, good run stuffer. Those guys are generally kind of anonymous. You know, I think he's better than I thought he was based on the first two games. And maybe he's just getting – maybe he was already better and I didn't really notice. Or maybe he's just now, like you said, taking that game to another level. Because I see him standing out more often in these first two games than I can remember in the past. And he made some big plays Sunday that kind of got swept. It was typical Ty Warren. He made one play on – I think it was either the third or the fourth and one. When they stopped the Jets in that first possession of the second half, he made the play. He totally plugged the hole and knocked the ball carrier down. And then, you know, someone else came in. I think it was Junior Seau came in, and he's obviously, you know, very emotional and
happened
demonstrative.
Happened to him twice.
And happened to him on, like,
consecutive. Seau did it to him, and Seymour did it to him, where Warren had the guy, like, around the thighs and was clearly
absolutely
making the play. And then either Seau or Seymour comes in and kind of throws him down to look like they made the tackle. But in reality, the play had already been made by Ty Warren. I think he's stood out. I think Vince Wilfork has stood out. I think actually Seymour may have, as much as you can say it, be as quiet of the three as there's been. I thought Vince Wilfork has absolutely owned just about every offensive lineman he's gone up against through the first couple weeks. And I think that's huge. That's why they are playing so well up front, is because each of those three guys can win not only one-on-one battles, but I think they've all developed to the point where they can win a lot of one-on-two battles. And as Bill says, you can't double-team everyone because you just run out of guys. And
at some
it
point.
Gets to the point where maybe other teams say, okay, we have to shut down Seymour. Well, you now have Vince Wilfork and Ty Warren playing at a high level and wreaking havoc 1-2 yards deep in your backfield on almost every play. And that's just going to make them unstoppable up front if they can stay healthy. If those guys can continue to play at that level, and there's no reason to think they're not. They're all high draft picks, which says they have a lot of physical ability, and they've all worked hard and clearly gotten better each year, each week, each half season, whatever you want to call it. So, I don't see any reason to believe why this line can't be dominant. I think we started talking about it a little too early, maybe a year, year and a half ago. I think it's to the point where now you say, wow, this may be the best defensive line in football. Everybody always talks about Carolina with Jenkins and Peppers and some of those guys. And obviously Jacksonville gets with Stroud and Henderson and those guys. But I got to tell you, I would take this line matched up against pretty much any group in football the way they're playing now.
Well, and I listened to some of the comments about, I guess Randy Cross was saying, I think I said this earlier this week, but Randy Cross, I guess, was talking about how you might as well not even bother trying to run inside against the Patriots. That they're playing at that high of a level. And the key to me, the first key was Wilfork last year. Whatever happened, he talked about it. He made an adjustment. He and Belichick talked about it watching film. They moved him back a little bit off the ball because they said that he was jumping the gun a little bit too quick. He was too quick trying to get into the backfield. His play has been so much night and day better than it was.
It's so amazing that he moved 6 inches and suddenly goes from being 5 yards downfield to 2 yards in the backfield. I find it so amazing that it was like a switch got flipped.
Well, I think what the point was that he was kind of taking himself out of position a lot and making it easier to block him. He was blocking himself, more or less.
I find it so amazing, if that's really all that it was. No.
I'm just kidding.
I'm sure that's part of it, but I wonder what other factors are at play, whether for some reason it coincided with his natural development with his hands or some other aspect, not just, you're lining up 4 inches too close or 4 inches, you know what I mean? I find it so amazing, the difference in his play, when literally, I'll admit it, I used to make fun of him. Because he was downfield.
He was calm. He was playing safety.
And now all of a sudden, he's in the backfield every play.
He has been.
And it's not like he's shooting gaps. He's in the backfield because he takes the guy who's blocking him, picks him up, and pushes him into the backfield.
He's played at a very high level. And I think, Randy Cross is right. You can't run inside on those guys.
So I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
Amazing. Why, I don't speak Spanish.
Gary's got some new sound bites.
So. That's the defense right now, I think you have to feel pretty good about. The running game, you have to feel really good about.
Quarterback, Fred's worried that he might never play
again. Well, I'm not worried
again.
About the quarterback.
I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
That's a good one to use when Fred's reading emails.
you're just killing Andy.
Oh, I do need to go
in
through
English,
some of the technicalities of today's show. As I said, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. 12 to 2 will be with you, but the first hour we'll be taking your emails, webradiopatriots.com, webradiopatriots.com, previewing the Broncos game, reviewing the aspects of the team that you might want to talk about. In the second hour from 1 to 2, and this is our new schedule for the entire season, we will be going around the NFL, making our picks for this week for Sundays and Mondays games, because as you probably heard, the Friday edition of the show now includes...
New Wrinkle on Fridays.
Michael Felger for a portion of the show, and, occasionally some players, Roosevelt Colvin...
Troy Brown was here last week.
ESPN Radio Boston is now doing Patriots Friday here from the stadium on Fridays. The show airs from 4 to 7, but they do some of their interviews taped during the media availability in the afternoon, which... is generally around 1:30, so it coincides with the end of PFW in Progress. So our listeners actually get a chance to hear some interviews between Michael Felger and guys like Roosevelt Colvin and Troy Brown before they air on radio locally. And so that's just a new mix, but that keeps us from being able to do our usual 1 to 2 on Friday around the NFL. So now we do it 1 to 2 on Thursdays. And Fred goes 15-1. Maybe it's the day change. Maybe he needed a new day to make his picks.
Evidently, that's what it was all about.
That's what it is.
And a revelation will be revealed later. Revelation revealed. You like that? when Fred
that's
comes
why
down,
he gets all the good gigs.
When Fred comes down, he'll let you know that he went 15-1 intentionally. It could have been 16-0, but he intentionally lost a game. He knew that Buffalo was going to beat Miami, but he picked Miami anyway. So he
can't intentionally do anything.
It's unbelievable that, you know, he even allows us to participate in the same contest as he does. What are you looking at?
I don't know. Gary's all active in there. He looks like he wants to drop something in. Revolution! That was revelation, not revolution.
Oh, I see.
Speaking of the revolution, they have a game this weekend, Gary.
Speaking of the revolution.
They're going to tear up.
And they won last night, 2-0.
Oh, 2-0. Big win on the pitch. Are they going to tear up the field, Paul? Got a Rolling Stones concert Wednesday night with a stage bigger than the stadium, and it's going to rain this weekend, and there's a Revolution game. What do we expect from the Gillette Stadium turf come Sunday night?
On a field that generally looks pretty bad.
You're not going to fall for the banana and the tailpipe?
I had a little bubble stuck, didn't I? I could tell. I couldn't hear it, but I could tell. This is going to be, I think, one of the worst playing conditions the Patriots have had, short of that, you know, like the Baltimore game and the monsoon and all. You know,
going to actually rain Sunday night?
I heard it was supposed to rain Saturday night into Sunday, which means that, as you accurately pointed out, the stage comes off the field, which is going to, obviously, that's going to leave a mess. Then it's going to rain. Then the Revolution are going to play, and then the Patriots are prepared to play a football game.
I got to ask you. I know the league can force you in the playoffs to resod. Can at any time they force you during the regular season to redo your field?
I don't know the answer to
that. I don't believe they can. Unless it's proven to be, you know, a hazard where it could hurt somebody, an actual injury issue. I don't think they can force you during the regular season to do it.
Well, I don't see how it's not a hazard in the condition that it generally is in.
Yeah, I don't know. But I did hear a little, you know, me being a man of the people. I was talking to
some
people.
Were you down in
West
Virginia again? At the coal mines?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I was here in the back room at Gillette Stadium chatting with some of the people. There's a new system that they've, I guess not new system, a system that they've never really used that's in place that they can shoot oxygen from under the field up through in a way to aerate it and cause it to grow better. And apparently they're going to be trying to use that.
Oh, that's nice.
So,
hey, what's the stadium now, 5 years old?
I think it's one of those things maybe they forgot they had.
Fifth season?
But I did hear
right,
that,
fifth
that
season
there's
for
an oxygen
2002?
Injection system built in. You know how there's the pipes that heat it?
Yeah.
Well, apparently there's some way you can inject oxygen through as well. And I think they're planning on using that. Now, would you be surprised if they resod the field?
For Sunday?
No. Oh. Like next week in
I'm
general.
I'm stunned.
Yes.
You think they'll just leave it and deal with it?
Yes.
Okay.
What do
because
you think?
Fenway resod it after the Stones, right? No.
I believe that's correct.
Is it the Stones?
After the Stones concert. Yeah, Gary's giving you the nod.
A little different because, you know, baseball, you can't have...
Well, plus you... It, but
big divots and...
Yes, that's true. And but, you know, they went on a road trip, which is the same thing as if you have 1 week off.
Right.
You know, if you know, you have 2 weeks, because that's the longest you're going to be gone in baseball.
Right.
So it's, this, you know...
Plus, in baseball, they want it to look good. They're always
does that mean
those.
We can sell the grass like the Sox did?
Do they really?
I don't know what sucker bought that.
Well, they've haven't we done
sold the
some
the dirt of Foxborough Stadium and little slices of the goalpost. They sold the dirt
benches
too.
And goalposts.
Jars of dirt and slices of the goalposts. You could buy like a 1-inch slice of the circle part of the goalpost.
Yeah, I try not to toss too many stones on those things unless I know for sure what we're doing.
Which, by the way, I the dirt I find a little weird, but the goalpost I think would be interesting, especially if you could prove it was like the one Adam kicked through for the greatest kick in the history. You know, if it was some sort of authentication.
So many
process.
People have a piece of the one that Adam kicked it through that it you know lines up from like here to 495.
Goes from here to the moon. Anyway, webradiopatriots.com, webradiopatriots.com, PFW in progress. Should I get to the email since we only have our first hour?
Yeah,
to really
we really
talk
only
about
have
it?
An hour, so.
Although the good thing is we don't have a ton of emails. So where are you people?
Evidently, the A-team's not delivering.
Grown complacent.
What do you think of this game?
You're not a member of the A-team, just so you know.
Just so you know, I am the original founder of the A-team.
Are you sleeping? We said A-team three
I'm
times.
I'm reading emails.
We said A-team three times.
What do you think of this game, Andy?
The A-team. Thank you.
With all due respect to the Bills.
Paul, by the way, Andy now thinks the A-team is Andy and Tom.
Yeah, I know. He said that.
No, I don't think it. Somebody emailed in and said the A-team is Andy and Tom. We have a great dynamic or something.
But Andy's very funny because Andy will
I'm
go
very
with...
funny.
Because he hasn't figured out yet that no matter who is on the show, the emailers will write in saying that this is the real A-team. Except for when Fred's involved. If it's Tom and I, that's the A-team. If it's Andy and I, that's the A-team. If it's Andy and Tom, that's the A-team. No combination of Fred and anybody else is the A-team.
That's true.
Well, I think this game, with all due respect to the Bills and the Jets, Andy, this is like opening week to me. This is the first real game they're playing an opponent that, if the Patriots don't play well, they could lose.
I think they're going
to. I had to change my panties.
I think they're going to win pretty easily.
I do, too. I think I feel really good about this game.
I think the front seven that I just spent the first 5 minutes all over and praising to ad nauseum is going to dominate, stop the run, and then I think they're going to have their way with Jake Plummer. I think he could throw another two or three picks in this game, and I think they will do their part in adding to the quarterback controversy in Mile High City.
I think Denver needs to come out and throw the football early and often and then try to mix in the run, because if they try to do it the other way around, it's just I totally agree with everything you just said. It's not going to work.
I think they win easy.
That's not going to be good for the listeners, because they usually like to yell at us when we have opinions that actually give the other team a modicum of credit.
If we want to give like a 7-day head start, I think the Bengals are going to have their way with the Patriots and blow them out of the water 45-10.
Well, I'll reserve my judgment on that, and I'll wait and see what happens this week.
Okay, Tom O'Connor wants to talk about the new kicker. Hello. Writing to you from God's country.
T.O.C.
Just kidding. I'm actually in New Jersey, and rest assured, I hate the Jets. Can you comment on this? We had a blocked field goal last weekend. Is that any indication of our kicker's ability, or is it independent of him, meaning blame it on the protection? Tom, blame it on the protection. That's what Josh Miller told me.
Yeah.
He told me immediately after the kick, he went up to Gostkowski and said, good snap, good hold, good kick. That's not on you. Don't worry about it. And I believe him.
Yeah, I think there was way too much penetration on that play. And
Bill talked a lot about penetration.
Bill
Miller
talked
about
it on Monday, and I thought it was funny because I thought he just barely stopped short of completely exonerating Gostkowski on that play. Some other people haven't really pictured that quote the same way that I did, but that's how I read that quote.
Oh, yeah, how I took it.
You know, I think Michael Felger in the Herald has been kind of trumping that the kick was low, and I don't necessarily see it that way.
Josh Miller certainly didn't believe so. He said,
yeah, but Josh Miller has a reason.
There was penetration on that. He said it's one of those things, and we're going to see more of that in the coming weeks. Meaning, I took it that there was a certain scheme or certain thing that the rush did to get the guy in position to make the block, and he said, I expect to see that in the coming weeks. He totally.
That's interesting.
Totally, you know, went the other way. It was not Gostkowski's fault in any way. So, I take him at his word. Even if he is defending the rookie kicker.
No, I'm not saying that he's lying. I'm just saying he has reason
Paul
to
Perillo
try to...
Paul Perillo said that. Josh Miller's a liar.
I think he has reason to try to prop up the kicker and keep his confidence at a high level. That's all I'm saying.
And I think Bill does, too.
But Bill doesn't generally worry that much about that stuff. Bill,
he's not big on positive reinforcement.
I think that's the way he put it, right?
Yes. Archer? Archer Z.
Ursh?
Yeah, it's like Usher, but with an A to start instead of and then his middle name is Z. Interesting name. Asher, email us back. I want to know exactly how to say it and what the Z stands for. Ramen, your name is top. Ramen, your same. I don't know what that means. Some fact or fictions for us. We'll skip right past the part I can't read.
Okay, otherwise it was a very good impersonation of Fred Kirsch.
One.
No, I have to exonerate Andy on that. It's tough to read.
Asher, you know I don't read, idiot. Fact or fiction. One, the Patriots defense will hold the Broncos to under 100 yards total.
Total?
Fiction. If he means rushing, I'll go fact.
I'll say fiction with that, too, but there's no way they're going to hold them under 100 yards total.
Patriots will rush over for 100 total yards against the Broncos D.
Rush for over 100 yards?
Yeah.
I'll say fact.
Now I'm speaking idiot.
Yoo-hoo!
Three. Patriots tight ends combined for over 100 yards receiving and one touchdown. Fact.
Fiction. Patriots tight ends combined for over 100 yards receiving? Fiction.
There's three of them.
Fiction.
Wow.
When they do that in a game, then I'll say fact.
Paul Perillo down on the tight ends.
Patriots
win by double digits. Fact.
I'm going to say fact on that as well.
So an easy win this week over the Broncos, something the Patriots haven't had in I don't know when. When was the last time they had an easy win over the Broncos?
An easy win over the Broncos, maybe Bill Belichick's first win as the Patriots coach. It was a relatively easy win. 28-19, game wasn't that close.
Okay. Darcy Muller checking in. Fred, Paul, Andy, and Tom. I love when people do that. They just say, I don't know who's going to be on, so I'll just go with it. Just letting you know that Patriots support in Australia is alive and well, unlike the crocodile hunter.
Frankie!
Oh, jeez.
That one will get me some negative emails.
Oh, God.
I hope to make it over for a game next year sometime. Also, I was wondering, who do you guys think will make the Hall of Fame from the current recent Pats team? Darcy. Go with it, Paul.
Patriots Hall of Famers off the current team.
Bill Belichick. Tom Brady.
If you count Belichick, I would say Belichick, Brady.
Adam Vinatieri.
And Seymour.
You don't think Adam Vinatieri is going to make it?
Not on the team.
I said current recent. Are you not listening?
All I heard what you say was current.
I said, well, right after I said current, I said recent.
And then I repeated it and said off the current team, and you didn't say anything.
Well,
I think
maybe
Adam,
at that point I was saying the word recent.
I think Adam and Ty Law also have a chance, yes.
Ty Law, interesting one. Boy, I watched the highlights from the Chiefs-Broncos game. He didn't look good. Of course, it was just highlights. For all I know, I missed some plays that he looked tremendous on. But certainly didn't stand out. Last year, all I saw was in the highlights I saw was him picking passes off and, you know, doing good stuff, so... I don't know how he's fitting out there in Kansas City or how that team's doing in general, because it seems like an
evidently,
ugly situation.
Evidently, that defense has played a lot better than anybody expected, but the offense...
Fortunately, they have no offense.
Well, I mean, their quarterback, you know, went down halfway through the first game. That's tough to overcome.
He went down, and he was helped out going down by... What's that guy's name?
Robert Gethers.
Yeah. James... Oh, boy. In Dyer, Indiana. IN is Indiana, right? Tom had some problems with those yesterday, too. At one point, he goes, he reads the city name, and he just goes, Iowa? Because he didn't know. Hey, guys, love the show.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
I'm Ron Burgundy. It gives us that live out of town in the Patriots coverage that we need. What are the chances that you can add Patriots Playbook as part of the podcasting lineup? I bet zero.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Simply because the smart businessman that he is, I'm guessing John Rook would want a piece of the action if they put him on there. But I don't know the answer to that. Gary will look into it and get back to you, James.
As soon as he's done with his...
Hell no.
His
game
dip.
Of solitaire.
As soon as he gets the dip out of his mouth.
So you're saying he has dip in his mouth?
Dip.
Dip?
Not the other thing he sometimes has in his mouth.
Oh, Andy.
Also, one more question. With the Patriots being over 10...
I think your mic is gone. Hello.
Patriots being over $10 million under the cap, you have said that they will use that money most likely with some creative accounting, like moving some of Seymour's bonus to this year.
I have reason to believe, by the way, has already been done, but go ahead.
Is there a date that these moves would have to be done by? Yes. If they re-sign someone, would they have to do it just sometime before the season is over? No. There's a date. I don't know the date.
Re-sign someone like who?
Well, I think if they wanted to give somebody some sort of bonus money on this year's cap.
Re-signing a pending free agent like a Copin or an Asante Samuel, Daniel Graham.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
In order to get any of that on this year's cap, there isn't. I'm not sure exactly.
Late.
We talked about this one day on the show, and we still haven't had anybody really clear this up for us. I think there is a date, but Andy and I just don't know what it is.
Excuse me. There definitely is a date. I definitely know there's a date. I have no idea when it is. And it could change. I don't know what the new CBA has done to any of those details.
I have talked to some people, and I'm under the impression right now that they don't have nearly the amount of cap space that is being reported. And one of the reasons for that is that bonus for Seymour is pretty much been taken care of. But I have yet to see that reported anywhere, so I'm not sure if that's happened or not.
Interesting. I would assume it has.
Based on the person that told me this, I would assume it has as well.
Well, I would just assume it has because... Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, you have a chance to get a $6.6 million roster bonus on your books now when you have the space and not have to worry about it in the future.
Why wouldn't you ever again have to worry about that? I think that's good business. I know it takes away kind of the crutch that a lot of people use. They got $13 million. Why aren't they using it? Well, they are. Just not maybe the way you wanted it by signing Deion Branch and Ty Law and a couple other people.
Yeah, and it wasn't, you know... I don't want to come off as being, you know, the guy that just blindly accepts everything the organization does just because I work here. But you are. I think there was a pretty legitimate attempt. I think you agree with me, Andy.
I do.
I think there's a pretty legitimate attempt to sign these guys. I think they really wanted Ty Law back.
I think they really wanted
Deion Branch, you know, signed to an extension. But
they stuck to their value guns.
And I have no problem with that.
I don't either.
In fact, based on your commentary from last week when basically you praised everybody who's ever been in New England under the sun, I would say you had no problem with it either.
I believe everything I wrote.
I know you
and
do.
And I also believe all these people that are saying, why aren't they spending the $13 million are going to be proven frauds in a year or two when people say look back and say, you know what? They used that tremendously. They gave Seymour that bonus. That saved them money on the next year. They were able to do some things with the draft pick. I think everybody's going to be a fraud and be praising the way they handled recent situations.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care. I think there's a very legitimate possibility that Deion Branch has a very, very productive career out in Seattle. And Seattle may even be good enough to win it all. Okay? And at the same time, there's no guarantee at the same time that the Patriots are going to pick wisely and pick a great first-round pick, so everybody forgets about that. I'm going to tell you right now, I still think they did the right thing. If Deion Branch goes out and has two or three Pro Bowl seasons in Seattle and the Patriots pick an absolute bust in the first round, I still think it was the right thing to do because I don't think the player was worth the money he was looking for. And the money, as you just said, could be spent more wisely, and I think if it's spent on Seymour and maybe retaining somebody else, then I think that's more wisely than giving $13 million up front to Deion Branch. And that's I say that about Branch, liking and respecting the player an awful lot. I think the guy's a good, solid player, and I thought he was a good presence in the locker room and a good team player. So I don't want to be one of these guys that trashes. You know, I don't want to be like Fred, who the guy's not on the Patriots anymore, and I'm trashing him. I think an awful lot of Deion Branch, and I still do.
No, they've added cheese to the KFC stacker.
I can't believe that you even think this is even remotely
They added cheese, and it's still 99 cents.
It
Can you get
disgusting.
A better deal than that?
But it just looks bad.
Oh, boy. I don't get you. Anthony in D.C. up next.
The owner from Taco Bell works at Kentucky Fried Chicken now, apparently.
Gary, you like food. Those KFC stackers, in any way, shape, or form, look appetizing?
It's a little chicken finger on a little piece of bread with some lettuce. It's their delicious
chicken on a roll with lettuce and mayonnaise.
So you like it?
Paul has just had his fat card removed from his wallet. You're no longer
See,
a member.
No one will ever take that away from me.
It's because
I like all bad food.
Getting under your fat ass to get the wallet would be impossible. I recently started listening to your show and enjoy your commentary.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
My question is more of an academic one. Paul, you're out. One of the comments I frequently hear about Brady is his ability to realign blockers to better handle various defensive formations. That really hasn't worked out through the first couple of weeks. Is this really something unique to him, or is it something all quarterbacks try to do? Living down here in dead skin land, it's Anthony in D.C. if I didn't say that earlier.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
Where the pass protection is a joke, despite a supposedly good coaching staff, I wonder if the difference between them and the Pats is simply the talent on the line or the ability of the quarterback to organize them properly. I'd appreciate any thoughts you have to share on this topic.
Well, I think all quarterbacks probably are somewhat responsible for blocking assignments and calling those kinds of things out. Maybe some more than others. A guy like Manning and Brady with his experience now probably has more responsibilities than, say, a guy who's only been in the league for a short time. I don't think necessarily the problem in Washington is the offensive line. I know that Brunell has been under a lot of pressure, but talent-wise, that's a pretty good group that Washington has with Jansen and I mean, I don't know who's.
Thomas.
I don't know if guys have been out, you know, if guys have been out injured, but I don't think that's a bad group at all. But I'm not sure Brunell is necessarily the right guy for that job right now.
I agree.
Do you think that most quarterbacks call out line calls and stuff like that?
I think all quarterbacks play a role in that area.
Yeah, I do. I do as well.
Just because you don't see it, like, you know, everybody makes fun of Peyton Manning for all his things, and I think some of them are full of crap.
Tom Brady does histrionics.
But Tom Brady does it too, and I think some guys are probably not as adamant in pointing to 54's the mic, 54's the mic.
Right.
I think all teams have some communication style. Ooh. Side topic here I want to get off on real quick before we get back to the emails. Did you see the Brent Musburger thing where he...
Tell me I need to start paying attention a little bit more during the course of the week. I'm missing an awful lot.
The USC, who'd USC play last week?
Nebraska.
USC-Nebraska game in one of their, I guess, production meetings. He was talking to Booty, and Booty was telling him about different things they do, hand signals, and he told them that the hang loose sign, the pinky in the, is a sign for something.
And Musburger
said it on
was.
The air late in the game, and the sign too, not just, you know, they have a sign that tells him, he gave the sign, and Pete Carroll has, I guess, now filed an official complaint, protest, whatever he could with the network, and
right.
He's all worked up. How
we should have knocked his lights out.
You can talk about that have it, and you know, things of that nature, but you don't give the sign.
It happened in the NFL in week one with Susie Colbert.
What'd she do?
I forget the exact specific, but she said something that...
I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
Something that was revealed in a production meeting. It was a specific strategy kind of a deal, and she said it on the
report.
These people. And she got in a lot of trouble. She was in hot water. I think I want to say, was it the Minnesota? Was that would she be on that Minnesota? No,
maybe.
Is she still on ESPN?
Either
or
way,
is she on the Sunday night game now? Is she on with NBC with Michelle Tafoya?
She's opposite Michelle Tafoya.
So is that on the NBC game, or is that on the ESPN game?
I don't know.
ESPN.
But the point is taken. They're dumb to bring up.
I think Andrea Kramer's on
yes,
NBC.
You're correct, Gary. Yes. It was, so it must have been the Washington-Minnesota game. She said something that she shouldn't have said and gotten in a lot of trouble. I was reading about it on Florio's site with Pro Football
Brent
Talk.
Brent Musburger did the same dumb thing. These guys are idiots. And the way Gary's scribbling on his pad, I do believe we have to go to our daily call with Craig in South Carolina. Craig, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How you guys doing?
Good. How's the recovery going?
Fair to middling. I spent the bulk of yesterday in the radiology lab. They were doing nuclear testing. They shot me with radiation.
No. Ooh. That doesn't sound like fun.
That's not good.
We can't.
That's not good.
You can't be bringing us down with serious stuff like this. Now, you know.
Oh, I'm,
we're all concerned.
I'm not. By the way, just to clarify a point you guys were talking about a minute ago, the hang loose sign was to indicate man-to-man coverage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what that.
And Musburger's an idiot for giving away a team's signs on the air.
Yeah, he really shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, you think? I think you'd be a little more worked up if it was, say, you know, Tom Brady and the Patriots that he'd given away their sign.
Yeah. I was reading, you know, of course, I don't get the Globe down here, but I was online this morning, and I kind of came across the voting section for Patriots touchdown. In light of the Stones being there last night, I think we ought to play one of their songs this weekend against Denver. We ought to play Wild Horses.
Gary, you got that one?
Yeah, Wild Horses couldn't drag me away.
Is this
you know,
Jamie?
I like that.
This is Craig.
No, it's Craig. Craig.
This is Tom. I'm here now.
So now we can all get serious.
Well, no, I just wanted to say I'm dead set against that. Because 65-year-old men in tight pants singing Satisfaction doesn't do it to me. So Rolling Stones are out around here.
Well, I said play the song. I didn't say put, you know, Mick up there, so...
It's true.
So put that in your pipe and smoke it,
Casale. Well, what the heck does Wild Horses mean?
I don't know. I'm sure Gary has a horse.
No, there's a line in the song, Wild Horses couldn't drag me away, you know, anyway.
All right, what do you got for us besides your taste in music?
Okay, I know you guys are going to do your picks in a minute, but my lead pipe lock this week is the Giants are going to beat the Seahawks.
Okay.
Lead pipe lock, huh?
That's my lead pipe lock for this week, yep.
Can you come up with one that maybe isn't quite such a toss-up that I could maybe use for a knockout pool?
Or
well, listening to everybody talk about the Seahawks, I mean, you know, especially them playing at home with Deion Branch, everybody saying Branch is, you know, going to have a great game and all this kind of stuff, I kind of figured that was pretty good. But, of course, the Patriots are going to beat the Broncos. I mean, hell, they only scored 9 points against Kansas City's defense. I mean,
Patriots beat the Bills by 2?
Well, hey, you know.
I'm just kidding with you, Craig.
Things happen, dude. We're about to get on a roll. You guys have a good day. Take it
too.
Easy.
All right, Craig. Get better. Get well. I guess things only happen in Denver. I guess things don't happen. I mean, things only happen in Foxborough, not in Denver.
Were you guys talking about the Musburger thing?
Yes.
I just have one thing to say about that. If they're given signs like that and other teams aren't picking up on it, then some coaches in the Pac-10 need to be fired.
Right.
Because that's about as basic as I've ever heard.
Well, I don't know about that, because you have to figure out exactly what he's trying to tell them. You know, he's not necessarily going to run the same route
have
right after
Have you ever seen...
It.
have you ever seen the size of these coaches? They're all 300 pounds. You know why? Because they don't do nothing but sit around and watch film. I don't think it's as easy to just pick up signs as
Well,
just the hang loose sign, though?
No, he knows it's a sign, but now he's going to figure out what it is. I mean, they have to, with enough confidence to say, this is what it is,
It was a simple thing where he was just hitting guys that were one-on-one, is what I'm saying. It wasn't like a complicated thing.
Right.
So you would think they would look at those plays and say, boy, he keeps going deep to the guy on the left who's one. If it was more complicated, I think I would agree with you.
I don't think it's as easy as you make it out to be, but I just think the sanctity of the pregame, whatever conferences they get with players and coaches, is don't be an idiot and give away stuff.
That's the main issue.
Generalities. Use what we tell you to give it a better broadcast.
No, I agree with that. My point is that I still think that Pete Carroll's just an idiot who happened to recruit a lot of talent and is doing hang loose signs to throw deep.
Could be.
We like to have fun.
Woo! Stan Matthews. Is that the guy that was ripping us the other day?
Stan, I think, right?
It was Stan.
No, that's not Stan the man?
Different one.
Okay. Different Stan, and we don't like this Stan, but we'll answer his question anyway because he emailed in.
Why don't you like him? Because he was ripping you?
He's kind of a D-bag.
Throw a little.
Who would play if thicker skin? Who would play if Light went out?
That's a great question.
Different Stan, Andy.
Yeah, you got the wrong guy.
Oh, this is the good Stan?
Yeah.
Oh, we like Stan,
right?
It doesn't say Stan Matthews, the man.
Stan Matthews is Stan the man, I think.
I came to that conclusion when Gary said it's a different guy.
No, I thought he meant the other guy was. Forget it. Just answer the question.
I really don't know how to answer that question. I almost asked it today.
Wesley Britt.
I would say Wesley Britt, too.
But does Wesley Britt play the left side?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think they move O'Callaghan. He's their right tackle.
I actually thought, and you can tell me if I'm completely
right tackle.
Completely nuts right here, maybe Logan Mankins.
Could be. Now who plays guard? Hochstein,
sure.
Now you get into that thing Bill always talks about, where you move three guys around, or do you want to move one? Remember how he
also get into a lot of trouble for Tom Brady. not that Matt Light's doing much there himself, but
so that what move would you make?
Well, I don't really know much about Wesley Britt, and the coaches obviously have a lot more to go on here.
Tall.
I'm saying if you're worried about it, if you're not sure he's going to be able to do that, I think you go with a better player. And we know Logan Mankins is a better player.
You're definitely going with a better player, and you've seen more from Hochstein on
an
NFL field.
I have no problem whatsoever with Hochstein playing left guard, because he's done it.
So you would move Mankins?
Yeah.
I need a decision. Matt Light just broke his leg, and he's being carted off. You were on the 45 seconds. I can call timeout. I can get you an extra 30 seconds, but I need a decision.
It's kind of hard for me to make that such a definitive way, but yes, I think I would lean toward moving Mankins out to left tackle.
You won't even. I think I would lean toward.
Yes.
Okay, Tom?
I would agree with that as long as they're confident that Mankins can make that switch over and that he would be a better fit. I don't know if you want Wesley Britt defending Tom Brady's blind side, so I'd have to go with Paul on this one.
Can I tell you, of late, I haven't wanted Matt Light defending Tom Brady's blind side. Question. Was he active last week, Britt?
I believe he's been active, yes.
Yeah,
someone would have to have a tackle.
Well, not necessarily in your scenario. If your scenario is the scenario.
That's dangerous, though.
If you're saying if something happens, I'm moving Mankins, you don't necessarily have to have a true backup tackle.
I guess, in theory, you're right.
If they were thinking like you and said,
theory,
you know what,
right,
if it comes to it, I'm moving Mankins.
That's an awfully big chance to take.
Because otherwise, you don't need him active.
That your backup for one is a guy who's already playing.
Is he only.
And that's how you're going into the game thinking?
Well, I'm saying you'd have maybe Merchkowski and Hochstein active as your two backup linemen.
And Merchkowski hasn't been active, has he?
I don't believe so.
The other thing here that we've totally forgot about is Kazier.
Well, I don't think he's ready to play, so I didn't forget about him. I put him out of the mix because I think that's the question that's why he was asking it. I think if Kazier's in the mix,
it opens up a lot more possibilities. I totally forgot about Kazier. Obviously, he plays left.
If he's healthy, but I think that's why he asked it, because it's interesting if you say Kazier's not.
He's hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
But I do think that O'Callaghan is kind of entrenched as a right tackle. That's what he played in college. It's where he's been since he got here.
He seems to fit that profile as more of a mauler type.
Right. So I don't.
A road grader.
You know, if you had to, maybe you move him for the fourth quarter of a game, but I don't think he's your backup left tackle.
You're probably right.
On some level. You lost the guy who was able to do that. He went to Seattle. Got a lot of money to do
He's
it.
Not playing there.
Now he's on the bench.
And it's not Tom's, getting Matt Hasselbeck killed.
And Tom's forwarding me things from Seattle chat rooms where they're ripping him, saying, take him back to New England or something. The Pickle Man, Mike Gerken, checking in. Hey, guys. Good show, as always.
The Pickle Man.
I like gherkins. I really, whew, that's a good pickle.
Ooh, your pickle smoocher.
Gary, I see you in action over there. Are you going to play something? Or your fingers, your arms are flying around, and I don't hear anything. Oh, Stan Matthews, which Stan is it is coming up. But anyway, one thing that has not really been pointed out so far is how well the Patriots special teams have been doing. So far this year, the team has... Well, doing wasn't there, so I added it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Otherwise, it would have been how good the special teams
have been. I
just thought
it was funny the way you said it.
I try to help people out.
He's not talking about the return game, I hope.
So let me read it. So far this year, the team has done a great job in covering kickoffs and punts. Gostkowski has done a great job with his kickoffs, and Miller is leading the league in punt average. On the offensive side, we are doing a better job on kickoffs than I remember from all of last year, and while punt returns have not been spectacular, there has not been any miscues to date, which is always nice. I know that special teams is not the most exciting part of the game, but it is important to the success of the team, and I thought it should get some love. Thanks, the Pickle Man.
I think the coverage has been outstanding. Yeah. On both sides.
Covering their asses off is what Josh Miller said. I can't put it any other way.
Yeah, I think the coverage has been excellent.
Except in the paper where it says
I think saying that the punt return hasn't been that great, but they haven't had any miscues is kind of like saying, you know, like the bad news bears, we did hit 17 foul balls.
Right.
The punt return game has been non-existent.
Terrible.
And the kick return game has not been overly good either. I thought there was one return that Maroney... Yeah. Had maybe two of them have been decent,
but nothing like that has changed
nothing
the game.
Nothing dynamic in that.
I think he's looked for plays there more than made them happen.
It
seems like he's going back and forth across the field rather than just hitting.
They got to get better in that. That was something they wanted to get better on at this season, and so far after two games, they haven't gotten better at it.
I think he
at
looks
all.
Less dynamic as a returner than he does when he runs.
Gostkowski's kickoffs have been fine.
They've been okay,
but I don't see them as. I mean, people are making a big deal out of them. I don't see them as being
fine.
A marked improvement over the past.
So
to be
one
honest
touchback,
with you,
I think.
And
did he have one?
I think he has one.
I didn't even remember him getting one.
But Miller has been tremendous, and you'll read more about it in the upcoming edition
Miller's
of Patriots
been pretty
Football
good.
Weekly.
And, again,
except
the coverage.
For Tom, who said he's off to a slow start.
The coverage has been outstanding.
He's off to a strong start. he only have to change one word.
Yeah, the coverage has been
absolutely outstanding. I think
it should be around here. I got to tell you, if at any point it stops being good, you have a problem because you dedicate time, money, roster spots, veteran players to it, so it should be good.
It has been shaky in the past.
Yeah, they got rid of the young guys.
Last year.
Remember Sean Mayer and guys like that?
But wouldn't you,
Freddie Kirsch.
You guys agree that you'd rather have a young guy returning punts than watching Troy Brown call for a fair catch every time?
Well,
that's
a waste
generally
of time.
It's been Kevin Falk.
Or Falk.
And
either
then only when they're backed up near their goal line is it Troy Brown.
I was going to ask, are we going to see Jonathan Smith in that role or no?
Evidently they're not. Thrilled with what they saw from Willie Andrews in the preseason.
I wasn't either.
I fell off
the Willie Andrews. Fred, you're circling your chair. Do you want to sit here?
Well, he always goes over
he's
the
like
games.
He's looking at me like, you're in my chair. That's my chair.
He's like Normie on chairs. What are you doing? I sit there.
Can I finish the emails, Fred? As we all know, Fred Kirsch is now in the building with a Coke, which means he ate and didn't bring us any food. What'd you have for lunch?
Did you not bring us any
with
food?
With a Pepsi.
You had to go out and get
Pepsi.
Something because this is a Pepsi stadium.
I had to go to the bank.
And what'd you get other than that Pepsi that you're drinking?
Nothing.
I don't believe you. You didn't have a sub?
No.
Pizza?
I don't have time.
Taco?
I think
speak into the microphone.
Okay, we'll get going on the emails because we are running out of time as Fred being here shows us. Josh in Jacksonville. Hey, guys. Has there been any new news regarding the workouts the Pats had with Tommy Maddox and Todd Bowman? Do any of you really think we need them? A number of us think we need them, including said Pepsi-drinking Fred Kirsch.
I have not seen any updates.
He's now eating chips.
I haven't seen any updates regarding those guys. My guess is just kind of precautionary, working guys out, seeing what
funny,
their
that's
options
not the tune
are.
I was hearing from you guys yesterday.
Oh, see, as usual, he's turning things around.
That's what he does.
We said if Brady had some kind of injury, then, yeah, we want someone in here.
Right.
But if he's fine, who cares? We don't want Tommy Maddox here if Brady's okay.
Exactly. And if they don't sign anybody, then I would think the only way they would sign one of those guys is if Brady does have some sort of injury.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think they're just going to sign him because all of a sudden the first 2 weeks they got squirrely over the fact that Matt Castle's the only backup.
No, I think it had nothing to do with Matt Castle.
Right.
Ryan Ward checking in from Fredericton, New Brunswick. Hey, guys. Glad you think we're going to kill Denver. Drink the Kool-Aid, and we drink the Kool-Aid. We will. What about Rod Smith? He always kills us. How does he look so far this year?
Well, he got a concussion last week, so he probably didn't look too good after that.
And they haven't been putting up too many receiving numbers simply because Jake Plummer's been struggling. He hasn't been able to get the ball to him.
We know he doesn't have a touchdown reception because nobody on the Broncos has a touchdown reception. Should we start the Alex Smith-like Jake Plummer watch to when he's going to throw his first touchdown pass? I know Plummer's been throwing worse than Brady. Wow, that's a little backhanded shot at Brady there, no? But against us, all he has to do is roll out and throw to Rod. Which one of our poor tackling defensive backs will stop him?
Wow.
This guy was talking about Kool-Aid. He better make himself a batch himself there.
And they also have to worry about Javon Walker now.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a major upgrade over Ashley Lillian.
Yeah, and he's a guy that can change the game.
He's a deadly receiver.
He could slide Rod Smith into kind of a complimentary role at his age. So I fear him. I still fear Rod Smith.
Yeah, but Smith is going to kill you on those crossing routes and stuff. Walker can hit that deep ball on you. And
he could run right by Asante Samuel and keep right on running.
Tom, I had made the comment that I think Denver needs to come out and throw the ball.
Because
I don't see them running the ball down the Patriots' throat
totally
the way
agree.
They normally do to people. So
if they come out and just think they're going to run the football. Now, see, the only thing is this weather thing that we're hearing now. How do you think that's going to change the game if it's raining up until game time?
Well, as long as it's not, you know, a lot of wind during the course of the game, I think you can throw in wet weather.
And
I think wind is the number one thing that affects the way the game is actually played.
Ryan says, P.S., the A-team is Paul and Tom.
Oh, wow.
The Z-team would be Fred and Bilo, if it ever happened.
Who's this?
Ryan Ward.
I got it.
From Fredericton, New Brunswick.
I had made the comment that...
He can forget about any tours.
Fred's taking his ball and going home.
I gotta be honest. The natives are turning on Fred. A couple of close wins against bad teams, and they don't want to hear the homerism anymore.
Well, it's funny because I made the comment, Tom, before you got down here, that regardless, whoever is on, the email is usually right in and say, that's the A-team. If it's me and you, we're the A-team. If it's you and Andy, you're the A-team. If it's me and... But no one ever has Fred and whoever as the A-team. Why is that?
They're the Z-team.
Why is that?
He finally made a team, at least.
That's the first shot I've ever heard on B-Low, I think, too.
Yeah.
Don't think this had anything to do with that pencil neck geek low. That's true.
Five more minutes in the first hour here, so we'll roll through these emails.
Roll them.
Bill in Austin wants to talk about oxygen and the Colts. I don't really know what that means.
Philip!
My question about scheduling is, why doesn't the conference schedule alternate every year? For instance, if AFC South 1 plays AFC East 1 in 2004, why shouldn't it alternate the year after? Why do the Colts, AFC South 1, play the Patriots, AFC East 1, for 3 years in a row? I'm not complaining about this part of the deal, but it does seem if we end up playing a disproportionate number of our regular season games at Denver and at Pittsburgh.
That is incorrect.
And the Colts keep coming to New England.
The reason we play those teams is because the divisions also rotate.
It does alternate.
So if you have the best, you play the first place team in the other two divisions, and it's a rotating division, so you could end up playing. You're going to end up playing the first place team in all three divisions.
Right. You automatically play, you know, the whole division.
Right. Some division, South, East,
right.
North, rotational.
And then the other two spots are whatever position you finished. So that's the way it has to go. So it does rotate. You know, this year, like last year, they played the entire AFC South. This year they played the entire AFC South. It has nothing to do with.
Right.
Where they finished first place, or they play Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Houston also.
Right, but if you are a first place team,
you're
going to
play
all three first place teams
in that conference
because
automatically.
You get two by schedule and one by division.
Right.
And one last note from Phil. He knows a little something about oxygen and grass. Injecting oxygen into the turf may help the animals walking around in and on the grass, but it won't do much for the grass itself, he says. I don't know if that's true or not, but now we go to the phone lines. Jamie in Houston joining us once again. Jamie, what's going on?
Hello?
I think Gary's no longer paying attention to the radio program.
Okay. Evidently, we don't have Jamie in Houston.
Oh, I'm pretty sure Jamie's there, just Gary hasn't pressed the little button because he's now on his Nextel talking to somebody else. So I'll go to Josh T. in Arlington, Virginia, /Groton, Mass. Predictions of domination.
Pain.
I'm writing in regards to some comments/predictions I heard on yesterday's show. I need a little more explanation on the predictions offered yesterday about the Pats dominating the Broncos this coming Sunday night. I attended the Week 1 game and watched the Week 2 game on HD DVR. While hopeful, I'm certainly not impressed. I agree that the D-line and the running game are looking dominant to date, but I'm still a little hesitant to predict a blowout over the Broncos, given the apparent disarray in the passing game and the secondary, as well as the recent domination of the Pats by the Donkeys. Although, quote, intentional safety are my two favorite words to shout when visiting Denver, as I did often during my visit there for last year's regular season matchup. How'd that work
out
for you? It does appear that Shanahan has Bill B's number just a bit. My best friend is a Donkeys fan, so I will truly enjoy the coming Pats win on Sunday. But I was a little surprised to hear such bold predictions. Other than Plummer's struggles, do you guys feel that our two very good strong points at the moment are the perfect matchup for the shutting them down?
Well, can I guess that Fred was the one that predicted a blowout win?
I know, it was me.
Tom did, too.
Oh, you did,
and
too?
I predicted a comfortable win.
I mean, I certainly think they'll win, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think they'll win, and I think they'll be in control of the game.
No, Paul just thought last week was going to be a blowout.
I don't think Denver's that good. Me and Andy were saying yesterday, I think they were a team last year where a lot of things went right for them, and you looked at them like we did at the end of the year and said, this team's 13-3, and I just don't know if they're going to be that same kind of team this year. I know the Patriots haven't played well in two games, but I got a hunch they're due. So
I think Denver is a pretty good football team, but I just don't think they're playing very well right now. Now, you could certainly make the same argument. The Patriots, even though they're 2-0, haven't played up to their capability either, but the big difference is I like my chances when you have Brady against Plummer, and I still think that Denver is going to try to do what they do, and that's run the football, and I think that's a big mistake against the Patriots. I said this going into that playoff game last year, that Denver needs to come out and throw the ball around and establish Plummer and try to win that way. They didn't, and unfortunately for the Patriots, they had a lot of turnovers and gave Denver a lot of free points. But if you remember, Denver's offense didn't really move the ball until the fourth quarter. That for the first three quarters, Denver's offense was pretty much stymied, and then, you know, when they tried to play catch-up in the fourth quarter, Denver did a great job of keeping the ball away from the Patriots by throwing the ball again, not just by running the ball into the middle of the line. Bill talked about that today at the press conference.
Plus, okay, they don't really have any running backs. I mean, Tatum Bell's okay. And
they're running well. But
I just don't think they scared him yesterday. Like
he's averaging 5.5 a carry.
Well, yeah, he always does, but he only carries the ball like 12 times a game. What I'm saying is he's not the 25, 30, you know, and they don't have the Mike Anderson.
But does it matter if you're running well and you're not scoring points? I mean, could it be that teams are just daring them to pass and they're not taking them up on it?
Yeah, I haven't really seen them play, so it's hard for me to say, but I was shocked when I was doing the numbers overnight for the paper, and I saw 153 yards a game, and I thought to myself, where?
Right.
I don't know where they
came. I haven't seen the game, so I can't tell you if it's me.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out this week.
All right, we're going to close out the first hour now that Gary's actually paying attention to the program once again with Jamie in Houston. Jamie, what's going on?
What's going on, guys? Second time's a charm, right?
Yes. So you heard all that. You heard Gary ignoring you while he talked to somebody else on his Nextel.
It happens.
That was
Gary's usually good to me, so I give Gary a
break. That was a great drop-in right there. One of Gary's best drop-ins ever.
So, Jamie, what do you got for us this week?
Talking about the upcoming game, do you think we'll run the ball in the face of Denver's blitz? You know, I think we probably want to establish the pass, but the best way to probably take care of Denver's scheme, which I'm hearing a lot of people say it, is the blitz and the pressure to take Brady out of the equation. So do you think it's a matter of their running versus our running, or, you know, our running versus their defense and their pass attempts at our secondary? What do you guys take on that?
Well, Tom Casale is sort of our resident expert on the Broncos and their defense and what they think of the Patriots running game and John Lynch, so I'll let him answer.
And sometimes I just make up quotes and pretend that they happen, apparently.
Well, keep pretending and use it because it's a good one.
Well, last year at the in the playoff win, Lynch said that they didn't fear the Patriots' running game, so they were allowed to blitz even more than they normally do, which is quite a bit anyway.
But as you saw watching the game, I mean, they blitzed on virtually every play. They didn't care if they handed the ball off to Dillon because they knew it wasn't going
anywhere. They welcomed
anywhere.
That.
Yeah.
They welcomed
it. He wasn't going. But now, if you blitz and you hand the ball off to Maroney, that's 80 yards. So I think you're right. I think they're going to have to be more cautious with their blitz, as they were against the Steelers early on in the playoff game when the Steelers ran and had a little success running the ball, kind of backed the Broncos off. And their defensive line by themselves doesn't really put a lot of pressure on the quarterback.
Right. And I think, as we talked about earlier, I think the Broncos are going to have to throw the ball because I don't think they're going to be able to run against this front seven.
No way.
And they better be prepared. Denver better be prepared for a running game because obviously New England is going to try to run the football more so than it did in either one of the two meetings last year between the teams.
I thought Amos Saraway did well.
And what do you guys think? You think it's going to be a two-possession lead at the end of the game, or one possession lead for the good guys?
I think everybody
at least two.
Everybody here, I guess, except for me, thinks it's going to be a walk in the park.
Yeah, I think it's. I hope it comes to be a two possession lead kind of game, but I think it'll be close. They always play each other tough.
Yeah, they have a tough little series going here.
I got burnt last week. Patriots big.
I think if it's a two possession lead at the end, I think the Patriots get the last score to make it a two possession game.
I think they roll. Cruise control from
I think
the,
they're gonna win
second
the
quarter on. Cruise control.
I think they're gonna win the game. I think they're playing better right now, even though they're not playing great. I think Denver's got some problems brewing with the whole quarterback situation.
Yeah, and then in closing, as far as A-teams go, on the entertainment side, Fred with anybody is the A-team. And objectivity-wise, sorry, Fred, it's going to be anybody except for Fred.
Wow.
Jamie, you're out. You think Fred's entertaining. You must be doing a little drinking, a little liquid lunch today. All right, Jamie.
Later, guys. Go Pats.
We'll talk to you.
See you, Jamie.
And that'll put the wraps on the first hour. PFW in progress. Back after a short break with our Around the NFL picks.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
It's gonna be sad. Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh. Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5%. Up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
Here's a nice piece of sh.
PFW in progress.
Get poop again!
He called the sh.
This is the best night of my life.
With Red Kirsch.
Shatter!
Paul Perillo.
Where's my snack pack?
You've got a banana. You don't need no snack pack.
You know I like snack pack. Why can't you just give me a snack pack?
And Andy. And Andy?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Part of the story I don't like is that the little boy gave up looking for Happy after an hour.
That little boy's got a thing. You got a pet. You got a responsibility.
Andy Hart.
If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour and then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that dog.
Some guy named Tom.
I am the smartest man alive!
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Oh, I want to touch the hiney.
PFW in progress.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
All right. We're back here at PFW in progress. It is Thursday, and starting this year, we decided that Thursdays is our day to go around the NFL, so that's what we're going to do now between 1 and 2. And before we start, I guess we should go over what happened last week.
Absolutely, Fred. This is the coronation that you've been waiting for.
Well, I think the emailer put it best. The sun shined on a dog's ass.
let me just say something.
15-1, and then to come to find out this morning, some breaking news this morning, Tom, Fred not only went 15-1, but he intentionally lost the one game that he lost.
Oh, I said I went against my gut. You ever knew that, Paul?
He knew Buffalo was a better team, he says, before the game. Mm-hmm. He knew before the game they were better and that they would win, but he picked Miami anyway. So I think that's amazing. I think we should just give you a de facto 16-0.
Let me just say something to our listeners for a second.
Let me make something really clear.
The modus operandi of especially Paul and Andy is whatever they fear, anyone or anything they make fun of. So that's what you're going to be hearing.
So I fear every person on earth?
Anything,
he makes fun of everything.
Anything or anyone that threatens them, they make
fun
of.
I was just getting sick and tired of hearing you run your mouth today. So
you know what? I didn't even bring it up. They're the ones that brought it up.
So me and you have a wager this week.
What exactly did we bring up?
The whole 15-1. I didn't bring it up.
This morning?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not
absolutely
true. That would not be. We were talking about power rankings.
Yeah, we started talking about over. That. And I didn't bring up the record. You guys did.
Not like on the bus when he said to Andy, do you want me to make your picks for you next
right,
week?
Right, exactly. But he didn't bring it up.
Tooting your own horn.
Okay.
So anyway,
how'd everyone else?
Fred, 15-1, his lone loss was by picking the inferior
went against
team.
My gut.
Andy, 12-4. Paul, 11-5. Tom, 10-6. So the standings to date, Fred is now 21-11 in first place. Andy, 20-12, one game behind. Paul and Tom, 19-13, two games behind.
I have to say, you know how the high school coaches, they tell you when you get to the end zone, act like you've been there before and you'll be there again and don't act like an idiot when you can celebrate.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that, but that's okay.
We have to give Fred, he can't do that because he's
never been there before
and he's never going to be there again, so he should enjoy this moment
again,
while it lasts.
Listeners, this is what they do. This is what they do.
Fred's taking the gloves off.
And I do owe Fred $10 because the Oakland Raiders did not score 10 points. They only scored 6.
That's another thing I
would. So I owe you 10.
That's right. Yet another bet that I suckered Paul on. You know,
that's your first.
He never learns. Never learns.
That's your first bet that you've beat me on.
Oh, I almost choked
a heart attack.
All right.
You know what happened? You know when you're wrong in an argument, you just start making jokes and get the focus off it? Fred Kirsch,
I haven't made a joke. You owe me money. Oh. I don't owe you anything.
Yeah, it's the first time that you've beaten me in a bet. You just claimed that you've suckered me into many bets.
All right. Oh, first game of the week.
All right. Let's see. We're going to Tampa Bay. Now, this, I don't know what's going on with this game.
We know who Tom's picking because
Carolina.
He's going down with the ship.
Down with the ship.
Carolina at Tampa Bay. Andy.
I am going to go with Carolina. Because Tampa Bay stinks right now. And I don't have to go down with the ship because I didn't pick them to win anything.
All right.
Okay, well, I'm going down with the ship, but I have a theory. Tony Kornheiser said the backup quarterback is some guy named that I can't even pronounce, but me and Andy.
Boy, Bruce
Gradkowski. Me and Andy compared him to Tom Brady, like a Tom Brady type. So my theory is, in the second quarter, Gradkowski comes in. It's the Drew Bledsoe situation all over. He leads the Bucks to victory and on to the Super Bowl. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
I'm going to take Carolina.
Any reason? Any particular
reason? I think they're
better. Yeah. I think
they're both in a lot of trouble, though.
They are. One of these teams is going to be 0-3.
Steve Smith isn't playing again, and apparently Carolina can't score any points if Steve Smith isn't on the field.
Yeah, and it's amazing that a wide receiver, you know, that's, you know, a lot of people talk about how wide receivers don't have that kind of an impact. Well, Steve Smith is one that does.
And, Tom, I think they're learning their lesson. I think you will see more and more of D'Angelo Williams, and that will allow them to score more points.
But two years ago when Steve Smith broke his leg and missed, I think, the last 15 games, I think he broke his leg in the first game, if I'm not mistaken. It might even have been in the preseason. They started off 1-7. Yeah. They couldn't do anything. And last year he's back. They go to the NFC Championship game, and now this year he's out again, and they can't score.
That year, Machine Muhammad had an amazing year. I'm wondering if Jake Del Holme looks at one receiver too much and relies too much, because
who's their tight end? Do they have a good tight end?
They don't really have it, but they have a good running game. They have Keyshawn, and they're not moving the ball at all. And I know he's been criticized before of just signaling on one receiver and throwing the ball. So when that receiver's taken out of the equation, maybe they just can't move the ball on offense.
So Andy Carolina, Paul Carolina, Tom,
I'm going
Tampa Bay.
I
got to go with Carolina too. I think John Fox will have him up for this game. You know, it's a critical game for both teams. Either team wants to be 0-3. It's in Tampa Bay. Maybe they got a little bit of an edge with Smith out.
This whole Smith thing might be festering, too. You know, some of these rumors seem to be persisting that he is not necessarily missing these games because of his
injury.
I liked
his response, though, yesterday.
What did he say yesterday?
Saying that it's just an insult.
That's everything, Andy.
It's just an insult to think that either myself or this organization would stoop to this level.
Steve Smith said that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I like that as well. Doesn't necessarily mean it's not accurate.
No.
I was just laughing, Paul, because you haven't been up to date on stories lately, and I'm like, hey, he is up to date on this one, and then you didn't have, like, the final nugget of
the
story.
Well, you know, what's funny is I saw an update on that story yesterday,
because
that was kind of out there a little bit last week, and then I saw an update from a newspaper that just kind of threw it out there and didn't really substantiate it whatsoever. And I saw Florio in Pro Football Talk really took the guy to task for it. And I missed that last nugget. That must have been an update later than I looked at it.
I got a feeling it's going to be 13-13 in the fourth quarter, and it's going to be decided by one of the field goal kickers.
Is Gruden a one-season wonder as a head coach?
You know, I don't know, because we were talking about that before.
We heard a pretty good year last year.
We heard Bill talk about what a great offensive mind he has, and I heard Brian Billick talking about it, and both those teams shut him out the last times they played him. So maybe he's one of them guys who tries to do too much when he doesn't have the, like, Chris Sims is a young quarterback, so maybe he can't take in everything he's trying to do with all this movement and motion. Maybe he just needs to simplify things a little bit.
I just to answer your question, Fred, I think that Gruden's been a pretty good coach.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I think he won some games in Oakland.
Right.
He got to the playoffs a couple times in Oakland. You know,
Arguably should have upset when they lost him.
And not only that, but they probably feel like they, you know, should have been in the AFC Championship game in 2001, if not for the Tuck rule. And then he goes to Tampa Bay and he wins. And then he kind of rebuilt the whole team and got to the point where he won again last year to get to the playoffs. So while I don't think he's on Belichick's class or you know, maybe even Shanahan or those guys, but he's won a pretty fair amount of games.
Sims can't play. You know, he can't. What are you going to do?
Okay, Chicago at Minnesota. Andy.
Chicago. I'm not sold on the Minnesota Vikings, and I am sold on the Chicago Bears defense. It's legit. It will keep them in every single ball game they play.
Tom.
I'm not picking against the Bears again. I say they go 14-2 and win the Super Bowl.
Just keeping track of, for those of you at home, that's about 9 teams that Tom has winning the Super Bowl.
He's going to pull an Andy and say, I told you.
Win the Super Bowl.
For the last 2 years we've been doing this, I keep picking against the Bears thinking they're not going to score any points, but their defense scores 2 touchdowns a game, so I'm done picking against them.
I'm starting to become a believer in Chicago because I think that they're starting to put the pieces together to have a pretty decent offense. I mean, I think Grossman, I mean, I know it's only 2 games and everything, but he's played pretty well.
What's the deal with Benson?
He's not playing much at all.
That's going to hurt them.
Well, they don't have any problems.
Yeah, I mean, Thomas Jones, but I'm pretty good.
Right, but I'm saying you drafted him to be your dominant running back of the future. You miss on that. That keeps you from becoming, if he develops into what they probably thought he was going to be, a 1,500-yard rusher.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, you got a defense, a 1,500-yard rusher. You have the chance to be dominant for a span of time.
But
you
know doesn't have. I mean, I understand that it
has a great balanced team.
I understand that pushes you back because you don't want to necessarily miss on a high pick like that. You're right. But I mean, does it matter if he runs for 1,500 yards or Thomas Jones does?
Yeah, Thomas Jones ran for 1,300.
No,
need that extra 200.
Well, yeah, but
I mean, Thomas Jones was a pretty dominant back last year. I'm not saying
he
he's
definitely
a dominant
back. I don't think
back.
He will maintain that level of consistent production.
So you're not sold on him.
That
then.
You
okay.
would project when you draft a guy like Benson that high. You think you've drafted your Pro Bowl running back right down 1,300 yards, take a few 1,700-yard seasons for the next 6 years or whatever. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden you've created a window. You know, Urlacher's young. Some of those guys on defense are young. Agumlier, they're young guys. Now you've created both sides of the ball, your window. And if you miss, okay, now maybe you're an NFC championship team for a window, but you're not quite good enough to be a dominant team.
I think the whole key is Grossman. If Grossman can continue what he's started a little bit these 2 weeks and they can augment that defense, then I think they can be a serious player in the playoffs. Otherwise, I think they'll win a lot of regular season games because of that defense that we talked about.
When Grossman's been healthy over the last 2 years, they've won. I think it's
they've won without him.
Like four games?
No, but I think his personal percentage is...
What do you mean percentage?
His winning percentage.
He's won two games before this year.
No, he's won more than that.
Freddie's won two games
before
this year. I love Rex Grossman.
That's why Andy just said four games.
I really think it's like
four
games
as a starter.
He's like 2-2.
Well, not including this year.
No, now he's 4-2.
Yeah, I think
he's only played two games.
Started two games.
He missed almost the whole season last year. He got hurt in the preseason. Yeah, but not much. He was a rookie that year, and they threw him in. Remember, Craig Kensel was playing.
He played well down the stretch, but he only started a couple of games.
Jonathan Quinn, medicine woman.
All right, keep. Wait, first of all, are you taking Chicago?
Yeah, I agree with Paul.
Oh, 2-0 Vikings at home, not getting any love.
I'm going to go check that
not
rest,
sold
Rex Grossman stuff. Hold on. You keep talking amongst yourselves.
Although we could scout them right here because they're on in the background on one of our fancy TVs.
Okay, next game is Bengals at Steelers, and I'd like to know the fact that Kimo Vonnegut is no longer on the Steelers. Does that take away some of the revenge factor
no
of this
way.
Game?
No. Did you hear what Palmer said?
What did he say?
He said he hates the Steelers way more than he hated UCLA when he was at
He said
and,
that.
And they should.
And
I mean,
Cincinnati likes the Steelers or anything about them, blah, blah, blah.
But I like the confidence Cincinnati's team has. I like how they just come out and say, this is what we think. So if you don't like it, too bad.
Okay, Andy, what do you think? Bengals are traveling to Pittsburgh.
It's Cincinnati. In Pittsburgh?
It's in Pittsburgh.
You sure?
According to NFL.com.
I thought that game was in Cincinnati.
It's Cincy at Pittsburgh.
Okay.
I am going to take the Bengals. I think they're all around a better football team right now. I think they could be on the verge of being the best football team in the AFC. It all depends on how some of their punks on defense handle themselves.
What do you think of Joey Porter's pit bulls getting into a neighbor's yard and killing a horse?
I thought it was Jerry Porter's.
Oh, was it Jerry? I thought it was Joey.
I didn't hear the story.
Jerry Porter not having a good year, huh?
I'm pretty sure it's Jerry because that was like the lead to the story I read.
Oh,
not only is he dealing with issues not playing, but his pit bull snuck out and ate a miniature horse or killed it or whatever.
Killed it. I thought it was okay.
And he's being charged. I mean, it's a criminal offense having.
You need to keep those things penned up.
You just shouldn't have them.
No.
Why do you have them?
Right.
I don't understand it either.
It's stupid.
I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Why don't you have some stupid basset hound hopping around like me who licks you and it got ears flopping around?
You have to be worried about
if you're,
gonna
if you're rich,
in the
buy
of the night.
A fancy dog that's not going to be able to kill you. You know, buy like the best bred
you know
St. Bernard
it's
or something.
It's a lack of their own self-confidence they have to make up for.
Kind of like when I make fun of everybody.
Exactly. All right, so...
just to answer your question, Fred, Rex Grossman was 4-3 as a starting quarterback heading into this year.
Okay, that's more than two games.
Two more. Sorry.
He played
said he had a great percentage.
Seven games.
But you said he had a great percentage.
This is a
barely
typical
over 500.
This is a typical Fred Kirk
argument.
He'll focus on the amount of games that you played.
I'm wrong. He said he only started two
You're
games.
You're wronger.
No, four, he said, coming into this year.
He said he started four. He started
2-2,
seven.
He said. He said he was 2-2.
Okay.
You said he had a great percentage.
I said only two games.
He started...
He won two games.
At the end of that 2003 season, he started three games. He won two of them. And then he played in three games in 2004 and won one of them. And then last year he came off the bench one game and then started the last game and then lost in the playoffs. So really he's 4-4 as a starter.
Including the playoffs. I just think they've shown flashes of being a really good team with Rex Grossman under center.
I think that clearly they're... You know, if he plays well, he has enough talent to take them to another level that no matter how well Kyle Orton was going to play last year, was not capable of taking them to.
And they have a fallback now with Greasy.
All right, back to the Steeler-Bengal game. You're saying Bengals, Andy?
Bengals.
Well, the game being in Pittsburgh changes everything for me. I thought the Bengals were going to win by four touchdowns. Now I think it'll only be three.
Okay.
I like Cincinnati.
Paul, I like Cincy too. But
wow, defending Super Bowl champions,
Steelers
getting no love.
And Minnesota at home.
Or Pittsburgh. I don't even think they're going to make the playoffs. I'm on record saying
I'm all
that.
Done now. I have three straight road teams that I've taken so far.
All right, I think that the Lions are the team that I've been wrong on the most.
Ever?
Ever.
Well, every time wrong I pick them,
that's the Danny V Detroit rule. Don't have another pick four against the Lions.
But I'm going to pick, well, you go first, Andy. Green Bay at...
You didn't tell me who they were playing.
Green Bay
doesn't have
at
to. It's
Detroit.
The Packers.
I'm going to take the Lions.
Okay.
Big week. Kevin Jones. Breakout week.
You know. Tom, we don't have to ask Tom because... Never ask Tom about Green Bay.
Wait, Paul, is it true that the Lions are like now the front runners or in talks to get Porter?
Porter, yeah. They're comical.
That's tremendous. The word is that they're going to give a first round pick for him. So they didn't take a wide receiver in the first round
until
this year, but they're going to trade
that
GM.
One. That team's never going to be right.
Why?
He's insane.
I have a feeling that Marinelli might just kill him before the because
yeah.
He's one of those guys. You know, like Tom always says. You know, maybe they'll have to walk back from the next road game because they can't. Maybe they'll play without helmets one week. He'll just kill him one week.
Just Fred, find him like dead in his apartment or something.
I like the Lions in the game.
The head of that team. Is he the same guy who just stepped down at Ford?
Yes, he is.
So he clearly is not a very good businessman.
Well, the thing is, now they're thinking that now that he's stepped down from Ford, well, forced to step down, that he might spend more time with the team.
Well, will he realize his GM's an idiot?
Well, I hope so.
I mean, he drove the Ford car company into the ground. Now he's, well, I guess not really driving the Lions
like
into the ground.
I like that. Drove the car.
See what I did there?
I see what you did there. It's kind of like revealing the revelation.
Imagine being a Lions fan, though, and they give a million extent. You got to be pulling your hair out.
Are you taking the Lions, too?
I took the Lions.
Everyone's taking the Lions. No love for Brett Favre.
Well, I just think the Packers stink.
Well, they're going to win two games. So if you pick against them every game, you only lose two.
It's true.
But I am looking for Amon Green to rush for about $1.50.
How's that for a way to look at it?
What?
If you pick against them every game, you're only going to lose twice.
I like that theory.
Here's an interesting game. Maybe it'll show if the Jaguars are for real. They're traveling to Indianapolis to take on the Colts.
They always play the Colts tough, huh?
Yeah, they
generally play them tough, yeah.
Not this time. Colts roll big. I think the Jaguars are a fraudulent, dominant team.
Fraudulent, dominant. What does that mean?
Fraudulently dominant.
Okay.
They're not as dominant as people want to make
dominant,
them out to be.
But they're not.
I think last week against the Steelers, that's the perfect game for them. Another team that wants to play their style, run the ball, play some defense. I don't think they're that good.
Okay.
The playing them tough part means that the Colts usually only beat them by a touchdown.
Right.
Because I think they've won five.
The game's in question.
Well, didn't
in the
2 years
quarter.
Ago, didn't Jacksonville beat them twice?
Did they beat them twice? I think they only beat them once. I thought I saw that.
I thought
the Colts,
2 years ago they beat
I thought
them
the
twice.
Colts beat them five out of the last six, I thought I read.
Keep going.
But I just think that the Colts usually handle them. It's just it's a tougher game than they normally have against
right.
the Texans or so. I don't know if it'll be a blowout.
Well,
like
the Colts
said.
Are 8-2. In this series.
Yeah. So
and they've won the last two.
Well, we'll make it three.
Okay. All right.
Colts are roll. Joseph Addai had a good game last week, huh? Numbers wise, I mean, I didn't really see much, but
yeah,
I saw
he had like 80 something yards.
He had a cheap touchdown pass.
Okay.
I thought he caught the ball.
So Andy,
all he had to do was run for the corner.
Andy
he was wide
Colts,
open.
Tom Colts, Paul.
I like the Colts as well. I'm just trying to see in 2004. Jacksonville split with them. They lost the first game 24-17, and they beat them in the Dome 27-24. And then I know last year that the Colts won two relatively tight games against Jacksonville.
I'm going to go with Jacksonville this game. I think that...
He's just trying to pick up a game against us.
It's in Indy anyway, but I think that Jacksonville's schedule is really, really tough to open the season. That's three quality opponents they have to start the season. You know, I think
I just think this is the time for Jacksonville to play them. Their defense is playing well. There's still a question about the Colts running. Maybe, you know, they can key on Peyton Manning, give him a tough day. Maybe they can pull this game out. I'm going to go with Jacksonville for an upset. Would this be an upset, Paul? Am I allowed to say that?
Well, I think that. Well, yeah. Finally, you actually picked the underdog and said it was an upset.
I don't want to say anything that you don't agree with.
The funny thing, Fred.
Well, you picked the favorite team last week and claimed it was an upset.
The funny thing is I like the Colts for your reasoning. I think that this is a game where they can't run, so they won't run, and then they can take advantage of Jacksonville's weakness,
yeah,
which is the secondary.
Maybe, you know. I think they'll pull it out, Jacksonville. All right. 1 o'clock game, Jets at Buffalo. Andy.
Interesting. Interesting matchups of two teams we just saw. Jets at Buffalo. I am going to go with the New York Jets.
Okay.
I don't know why. I still don't think either team is a very good football team.
You don't know which team is what yet.
I don't think they're a very good football team, but, you know, it's tough to say. Pennington has thrown the ball well first two games, 300 yards each game. Bills have a decent secondary. I just think overall, I think the Jets are kind of buying into the Mangini thing. And the Bills, I didn't like some of the stuff I heard from them and after the game and different things. So I think they're moving along in the right direction a little bit slowly, but in that direction.
Okay.
Well, neither team's played anybody yet, so.
Oh, whoa.
I agree.
This is a toss-up. I'm going to go with the home team. I'll take the Bills. I'll use the Fred Kirsch theory. I think they got a pretty good defense.
I'm going with the Paul Perillo theory. Two bad teams playing each other. Go with the home team. Buffalo, I think, finds a way to win. If the Jets, I would take Andy's pick if the Jets could run the ball at all.
Yeah, that's the problem.
They have no running game. Even against Buffalo, they won't be able to run the ball because, you know, Buffalo's defense is just god-awful. Against the run, and I just don't think the Jets can take advantage of that. And I agree that their secondary, the Bills' secondary, is decent, and I don't see Pennington putting up another 300-yard game.
I think my thing is I just hate J.P. Lossman.
Well, that's,
and
I can't
that's,
pick
that, that's that, another that's, reason why that, Buffalo is so bad. People keep saying how good they are because they beat Miami.
Right.
He's a terrible quarterback.
He stinks, and I can't pick him.
You know, I'm going to pick the Bills in this game, but the thing is, J.P. Lossman, to me, is the reason why the Bills will lose this game if they lose. But I'm going to pick the Bills anyway. All right.
And he'll be right next week.
Well, I will if he throws five picks. Tennessee at Miami. Andy.
Tennessee at Miami. Do we know who's starting a quarterback?
Kerry Collins.
Kerry Collins is starting. Damn. I was going to pick the Titans just because I love Vince Young. But now I'm going to go with Miami because I think the Titans stink. And maybe Culpepper will actually put together a decent game. They should be able to run the ball with Ronnie Brown against that team. So I think the Dolphins get this one.
Yeah, I like the Dolphins, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do lose this game. I think Andy's right with the Ronnie Brown thing. That's how they'll win. But the one thing Fisher will do to you, a Buddy Ryan disciple, is blitz. And the Bills blitz like heck last week because they knew Culpepper couldn't move. And if they start sending pressure and Culpepper's throwing the ball like he did last week, the Titans will upset him. But I'm going to go with Miami because they're playing at home.
Yeah. Do you think that Saban might have to make a move here and put Joey Harrington out there?
I think he might.
I mean,
it's that bad.
I mean, Culpepper's to the point he's not giving the team an opportunity to win.
Right.
Some of that's his own fault, and some of that is, my personal opinion is just watching. He's not ready to play.
No.
And I think that Buffalo did blitz the heck out of him last week, and he couldn't get out of the way.
Right. And, I mean, Miami's defense certainly played well enough to win last week against the Bills, and they just couldn't get anything done on offense.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to take Miami here, but if Culpepper is still limited in his mobility, I'm not feeling great about it. This is like the only game that matches up for a knockout pick, by the way, and I'm sweating about it. I don't really feel good about taking an 0-2 team in a knockout pick.
I'm going to take Miami as well. Nothing would make me happier than to see Miami lose this game, but I think they'll win it. Doesn't mean anything, though, because Tennessee stinks as well. All right, Washington at the Houston Texans. Andy.
I got to tell you, my instinct is, you say the Redskins are a better team. I'm not sure that they're that much of a better team, but I am going to take them. I just not sold still on David Carr and the Houston Texans. I keep looking at the stats, and Andre Johnson's this dominant receiver with two catches for 43 yards, and just not sold on them. So even though I think this is a pretty close matchup because I don't think the Redskins are very good, but with Portis back, supposedly, they'll run the ball and they'll win, and Mario Williams still stink.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in total agreement with Andy. I saw the Redskins play last week, and you talk about a team with some problems because the Cowboys didn't really even play that good, and they killed them.
Redskins just aren't good.
If the Texans had any semblance of a defense, I would take them in this game. But I'm with you. I think they can just run Clinton Portis, and that might be enough. So I'm going to go with the Redskins, but very, very close game.
And not a game I'd be wanting to watch.
Yeah, I'm going to make it unanimous because I really echo the thoughts. I think Houston could win this game.
Notice how it's already unanimous. They haven't got to me yet. That's how little he regards
me. Sorry. I'm going to make it unanimous so far.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I misspoke.
I misspoke, Dakota.
I can definitely see Houston winning this game, and if I just had a little more confidence in their ability to stop Clinton Portis and make Brunell beat them, I would take Houston.
They drafted maybe
they should start drafting defensive players.
All right, I'm going to go with the Redskins as well. What else can you
do? So now it's unanimous.
All right.
now it's okay.
Jason, you got any commercials queued up? All right, let's go take a break. We'll be back with the 4 o'clock games.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right, Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords, 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4-FORD-10. Ford, bold moves. Come on. The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good, it is good. How about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
It's gonna be shot. Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
All right, back here at PFW Progress. We've gone through the 1 o'clock games, and we're about to do the 4 o'clock games and our weekly Around the NFL picks. And the first one we're going to talk about is the Ravens at the Cleveland Browns. Andy.
We were just talking about this one off the air a little bit. I kind of agree with Tom. I think the Ravens are the better team. But this could be one of those low-scoring games. Cleveland defense steps up at home, and they'll be in the game. But I will take the Ravens because they are the better team.
Okay. Tom?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's going to be a low-scoring struggle. But I was watching Inside the NFL last night. Buddy Ryan was watching the Ravens and the Raiders because his two sons were coaching. And he said the Ravens were using a lot of 46 defense. And if you use the 46, you got my vote. I love that defense. So I'm going to go with the Ravens in a close one.
I've mentioned that in the past, Tom, and these guys laugh at me when I mention the 46 defense.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Paul?
I just almost blew my eardrums out.
Paul, you're popping your peas.
I'm going to take Cleveland at home.
You're going to take Cleveland?
In a
bold move.
In a low-scoring game just like they described. I think that Cleveland, if they just don't turn the ball over, they win.
I'm going to take the Ravens. I think they get a lot of momentum right now, which will eventually wear off. But I think they're going to win this game. All right, 4:15, Giants at Seahawks.
Seattle Seahawks win at home. They're the better football team. Eli Manning stinks. And Deion Branch has 7 catches for 132 yards.
What did you think about that game-winning walk-off touchdown pass he had last
week?
I
thought it was garbage.
It was kind of lucky,
it was a
wasn't
Doug
it?
Flutie
the whole comeback was lucky.
Looked like the Doug frickin' Flutie.
You know what it was, Fred? It was the 4th-and-1 from Buffalo now against New England. Now, if Buffalo gets the 4th-and-1 and doesn't score, it's a different story. But if they get that and score, it'll go 24-7, game's over. If the guy for the Eagles who fell on that fumble stays on it, it's over. The game's over. And they just popped out, and all these crazy things started happening. I think the Giants stink. I think they've given up They've given up 200-300-yard passers back-to-back. I think you make it 3 this week. Deion Branch, big game. And all the other receivers, big game.
Tom Ashworth, big game.
But has Seattle played? Well, they had a good week last week. That's for sure.
They didn't have a great week. Yeah. They haven't hit their stride yet, but I think they get it back this week.
And by the way, is Alexander hurt?
A little bit.
Just a little bit.
Do you have injury reports anymore, or is that a thing of the past?
He'll probably play, but he's a little nicked up. Not that ever having a nicked up Sean Alexander is good, but I think you can throw the ball on the Giants, so it might actually help him a little bit in this game.
I like Seattle in the game, but I don't necessarily agree with the assessment that the Giants stink. I think they're a pretty good team. I just don't think they're at the level of Seattle. Now, last year they went into Seattle and dominated the game. They should have won the game by all accounts, if not for how many field goals that Jay Feely missed in that game?
Four.
So clearly, talent-wise, there's not that big of a difference here. But I'm going to take Seattle at home. If this game was in the Meadowlands, I'd be going with the Giants. I think it's one of those games. Two pretty good teams. I think two playoff teams in the NFC, but I'm going to go with the home team.
I just think the Giants' secondary is in a lot of trouble. They made some off-season moves, and they haven't meshed or something yet, and the team's just been able to throw the ball all over them.
I think the Colts do that to a lot of people.
I have the Giants down as going to the Super Bowl this year in the NFC, but the way they've been playing lately, I don't know. This is a tough one. This is one I'm really not sure about. Usually I see it and I know. I don't know this one. I'm going to go with the Giants. You know, now would that be an upset, Paul?
I think that would be a mild upset.
All right. Let's go with the Eagles.
Seahawks haven't lost at home in 2 years. It'd be an upset.
It's always gonna be, okay. Let's see. The Eagles at the San Francisco 49ers.
Philadelphia Eagles bounce back. Big win on the road. And I just don't think the 49ers are. I think they're going in the right direction. Not sold on this whole Frank Gore as a superstar now thing. And I think the Eagles are the better team.
Okay.
The 49ers kind of play tough at home, though. They scare me when they're home. On the road, this would be a blowout. But at home, it's a tough one. But we're not going with any spreads or anything. So I have to go with a better team here. I'll go with the Eagles, even though we'll have to see how they rebound from what happened to him last week.
Yeah, that's my one concern. I'll go with the Eagles as well, but that was a tough, tough loss.
Well, they have to be upset about it.
I mean, no one to blame. Tom put it perfectly. No one to blame but themselves. All they had to do was recover an easy fumble, and the game is over. And even after that, the game should have been over, but they just did a lot of dumb things to self-destruct down the stretch. That sometimes those kinds of wins, I mean, those kinds of losses can really knock you for a loop for a month or so. So it'll be interesting to see how they go out to the West Coast now. East Coast team, got to go all the way across the country.
Westbrook is still questionable with
Westbrook,
the knee.
Questionable, and you got to think that the way, I mean, they're going to have to find out how to stop, Frank Gore, Andy mentioned, but all of a sudden Antonio Bryant has become unstoppable with Alex Smith. So maybe San Francisco's putting a little something together out there offensively. I'm going to take Philadelphia, but I'm not feeling real great about it.
Andy, I don't know if I would agree with you on the Frank Gore thing, because North Turner, when he gets a talented running back, they usually put up huge numbers. So I don't know if he's kind of a flash in the pan. He might be doing this all year.
We'll see.
How stupid is this? On NFL.com, they have the side-by-side stats. They mixed in the preseason stats. They've got Donovan McNabb at 3-2.
Sounds like something we'd do at Patriots.com in the old days.
It makes no sense.
What, 3-2 is his record? You mean?
Record, 3-2. He's already got 1,400 yards.
That's stupid.
He has been playing well.
Well, he has two 300-yard games.
Two good games.
Yeah.
1,400 yards.
I think that probably he's the first quarterback to be on track this season. He's come out of the gates.
Well, I mean, Chad Pennington's thrown for 300 yards in two games, too.
But they lost.
Peyton Manning.
So did Donovan McNabb.
Peyton Manning hasn't looked that bad. I don't know if you noticed,
it's like
Fred.
Shooting fish in a barrel with the guy. It's unbelievable.
Peyton Manning hit for 3-something against the Giants, but then regressed with only 400.
Against Houston.
Silence.
Maybe it's only Brady.
Byron Leftwich has been struggling, too.
He hasn't been doing that well.
Did you watch these games?
Yeah, he has one good half and one bad half.
He was pretty much unstoppable against Dallas, and he threw for 260 against Pittsburgh.
In the first half against Dallas, he couldn't even complete a pass.
You must have watched a different first half than I did, because I didn't see Dallas stop him all day.
Are you kidding me?
No, absolutely not.
Tom, you watched the game.
That vaunted defense that Dallas has had a hard time stopping Jacksonville.
Yeah, they didn't score.
After the first quarter, it was dominant.
Yeah, they didn't score.
They had 10 points in the first half. It was 10-10 at the half.
Yeah, I know. They scored 3-0, and then two plays later, your idiot quarterback threw it pass right to a linebacker.
And they went 50 yards for a touchdown in the blink of an eye. 10-10.
Yeah, they scored 10 points in 2 minutes.
You were standing over in your cube. I was watching the game.
They scored.
You didn't have much of a hard time.
When you tape the game and watch it, you actually see it, Paul. So I did see it, and they scored 10 points.
I didn't need to tape it when I watched it live.
You don't understand. Paul's
2 minutes, they scored 10 points.
He's always right. Okay, there's no sense in arguing. Because you and I both watched it. We came to the same conclusion, you know, that...
Fred, you just told me Donovan McNabb is doing great and Chad Pennington's not because he lost.
I didn't say anything about Chad Pennington.
You said he lost.
I said he's the guy. I said all I was talking about was Donovan McNabb. You said, well, Pennington's done pretty well too.
Exactly. No.
That's what I'm talking about.
Let's go back. See, here's what he does. Wrong, but here's what he does. You said Donovan McNabb is the only quarterback who's really gotten on track so far. Yes or no?
He came out of the gates.
Yes or no?
Right, absolutely.
He's the only quarterback who's got on track. Tom comes back and says, Peyton Manning threw for 350 and 400 in his two games. Silence. Nothing from you. That's what you do.
Tom and I both watched the game, and didn't we both think that Dallas blew the game in the second half? They had him stifled in the first half.
In the first half,
but there's two halves of play.
That's what I said. I said first
they
half.
They could not stop him from the halfway point of the second quarter for the rest of the game.
Okay. All right,
Tom, would you agree with that?
Last time I thought a game was 60 minutes.
Once Jacksonville got the momentum, they couldn't stop them.
Thank you.
Right.
Tom watched the game on tape.
I agree.
He has the same impression of the game that I did.
You're telling me the whole game they couldn't
stop. I
didn't
say the whole game. I said from the halfway point of the second quarter on.
Oh, please.
And as to accurately quote you, the game is 60 minutes.
Byron Leftwich is not a hot quarterback right now.
Well, I don't know. I would say that he has the two most impressive wins of the season thus far, beating Dallas and Pittsburgh.
All right, but I'd say that
Sports Illustrated.
And Sports Illustrated has his team as number one in the power rankings.
I'd say that's not because of their offense.
Oh, all right.
You wouldn't agree?
Whatever.
Well, I mean, he has two 300-yard games, too. I think this is Fred's way to try.
Absolutely.
He's trying,
thank you very much, Sean. Thank you very much.
He's trying to make Brady look good when really he's the only
high-profile.
Brady
has not played well
him
yet.
Him and Joe Holm are the only two that...
Brady has not played
but
well.
But when Tom Brady wins 9-0, it's all about winning. Byron Leftwich wins 9-0, and he hasn't really done anything. It's all the defense. There you go, Tom. You hit the nail right on the head.
Oh, you don't think that's true?
I think Tom Brady's a great quarterback.
Has he played like the old Tom Brady so far this year?
No, but Byron Leftwich has played pretty well.
Well,
despite the fact they only scored 9 points the other night,
right,
he played pretty well.
The Patriots are 2-0. Okay.
Right. So is Jacksonville.
Right. But it's not always because of the quarterback.
I understand that. I think Jacksonville, a big part of the reason is because of the quarterback.
All right.
And I would venture to say that the New England Patriots would not be 2-0 if Tom Brady was not their quarterback.
And that last game, you're absolutely right.
I don't think they would have won the first game either. I don't think they rallied from 10 down in the second half with Joe Schmo playing quarterback.
But me. you're not saying that Brady's played.
He has not played at the level at we're accustomed to seeing
absolutely.
Him play.
Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Byron Leftwich is playing at a level higher than I'm accustomed to seeing him play.
How much does that say, though, about Byron Leftwich?
I mean, that he threw pretty well against the Super Bowl champs the other night on Monday night.
But up to this year, I mean, was Byron Leftwich one of your premier quarterbacks in the NFL?
No.
Okay. All right, so let's go to...
Andy, Paul, and Tom scratched their heads and lifted their eyebrows, trying to figure out what that meant.
I never know what Fred means when he argues.
He tends to change every 5 minutes.
I need a play-by-play guy to keep me on
Where
track
are we?
With
Philly
Fred.
At San Francisco.
We're waiting for your pick.
Philly. All right. Because Donovan McNabb's playing well, by the way.
And he's the only quarterback playing well.
Don't say that. He's the only quarterback
Sunday
playing
Sunday
well.
At 4:15, the Rams at the Cardinals.
I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
I'm going to go with the Cardinals just because they're playing at home.
Yeah, tough one.
Yeah, I go with my theory. Two bad teams playing each other, go with the home team.
How bad are the Cardinals this year? Are they a little better than...
I think they're bad. But, you know, they might make the playoffs because I think that conference is bad. Who knows?
Oh, I'm going to go with the Cardinals as well.
Hayden Jay, you.
All right, we'll see.
He hasn't done much, huh?
No.
60, having like 60 yards a
I don't know if you know their offensive line, not that good.
We'll skip the Patriots game. We'll go back to it. We'll go to Monday night. The Falcons at the New Orleans Saints. Home opener for the Saints in the Superdome.
Yes, so there'll be a lot of emotion there. Obviously, a packed house of Saints fans. And they're making a big deal on TV, aren't they? With like,
YouTube.
Oh, I think they're starting it like now. Yeah, like in an hour.
It's almost like a Super Bowl or a season opener.
Who is it? They have U2 there in Green Day.
Yeah, so they're a huge game, bigger than the normal, and I think the Saints will probably feed off that at least early, especially if you can get a big play from Reggie Bush or Deuce McAllister or one of those guys. But I think the Falcons are probably the better team, the way they're running the ball right now. Don't know what the Saints have on the defensive line because every time I look up, they're kind of cutting one of their first-round picks from 3 years ago. So I don't know what the deal is there. And I just think
still reeling over the loss of Jonathan Sullivan.
The way Vic and that running game is playing right now, that's a recipe to just win football games home or on the road. So I'll take the Falcons.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. I think that the Saints will be up for the game. I think they'll be in it for a half. I think Reggie Bush will have his coming out party and maybe score two dynamic touchdowns. But in the end, it's just too much on the ground for the Falcons, and that takes control in the second half.
But who did? So they have Charles Grant. He's pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they cut Sullivan,
According to Bill, the defensive line is the strength of the Saints
team.
Those
guys are all gone, though.
But who did they just cut this week?
Philadelphia. Darren Howard, they went to Philadelphia.
No, but they cut somebody this week. Is Will Smith still there? Or did they cut him?
One of those high-level
defensive linemen got cut this week. I need to look that up.
I think I'm going to fall into the Tom trap here. You know, Tom, you said that teams that you're going to die with and whatever. Chicago's the team that you refuse to admit. Well, Atlanta's the team I'm going to keep picking against because I just don't think Atlanta's very good. And they've played very well in the first 2 weeks, but I'm not sold. And while I hate having to put any kind of stock into the Saints because of the way they've been over the last 5 or 10 years, you know, so up and down, I'm going to take them in this game at home with the emotion. Maybe they steal one. I just don't. This is a pick more against the Falcons than for New Orleans. I just don't think Atlanta's very good.
I think it's going to be a good game.
I'm going to pick the Saints in this game. They start the season 3-0. You know, I think the emotion will carry. They're not that bad with this new quarterback that they've got. You know, they're a different team. And I think that's making a big difference on this team.
Yeah.
It's giving them confidence.
I agree with Fred, too. You know, he's a guy that's won some games. Now, he can't turn it over five times like he did last week. I mean, they're not going to beat anybody but Green Bay doing that. I mean, he fumbled I think they turned it over three consecutive possessions.
And he passed for over 300, but...
Yeah, but he had to, but basically because of the hole he put the team in. You can't do that against good teams. He won't be able to play like that against Atlanta and win. But I think that he has established that he is a mistake-free guy. I agree with Fred. He gives them a little bit of credibility.
You mean unlike Aaron Brooks, who's lighting it up in... Oakland? They're not playing. Oh, they're not playing this week.
Tom, you and I were on the Aaron Brooks bandwagon from the start. Andy was the one making fun of us about that one.
He's got Suck talent.
All right. So,
talent, he's been misused a couple stops along his career.
So two for the Falcons, two for the Saints in that game. Let's go back to Sunday night. Sunday night football in America, 8:15 at Gillette Stadium. The Broncos coming to town. Is this really a revenge game?
Yes.
I think it is.
Yes.
Is it more just we want to make up for how we screwed up last year? Because they're not mad at the Broncos. There's nothing like the
Broncos. They're embarrassed with how they played against the Broncos and want to beat the
like
crap
the Broncos
out of them.
Did the best, anything to make us mad.
The best player on the team said something about it. Then the second best player on the team said something about it. That's Brady
about,
and Seymour.
About making up for themselves.
Yeah.
But what? I mean,
I don't think they hate the Broncos.
Well, when I think of a revenge game, it's like, you know, when the Bruins played,
you know, the team that knocked out Cam Neely, or when,
okay,
you know, Oakland,
yeah,
played
us. I think that is a revenge, yeah, game, but I also think that, you know, do you think that Oakland wanted to beat the Patriots the year after the Tuck rule because
that's
they hated the Patriots,
yes,
or the Tuck rule?
Yes, they thought we got lucky.
They did.
Yeah.
That's what they thought, but that's why it was a revenge game, not because they had anybody they wanted to necessarily get back at.
Yeah, but
I don't think they wanted to beat Tom Brady because he got lucky with the Tuck rule.
I think they did.
They wanted to beat the Patriots because they felt they should have won the game the year before, and they got knocked out of the playoffs.
I think that there was some hard...
This is what I think, Fred. I think they thought they were the better team that night.
Yes.
And then what happened the next day, knowing that they would have hosted the AFC Championship game where they never lost.
I wholeheartedly agree.
I just don't personally, I don't get the feeling like,
oh,
I want to get those Broncos.
Well, it's not like hockey.
Right.
I mean, hockey is a sport
games.
Where you can fight, where they can throw the gloves down the second the puck drops, where there's injuries, where there's people that make a living off being goons and going after other people.
Even the way you say, you know, Palmer thinks about the Steelers right now. They really want to beat the Steelers. They're circling that game.
But I think most revenge games don't fall into that hatred category.
Right.
Most revenge games is we didn't play as well as we thought we could play against that team, and they ended our season. We want to get them back. And I think that there might be some true hatred with, say, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Maybe the Patriots and Jets that, you know, in the past.
Belichick and Mangini.
Yeah, there's some true animosity there.
I just get the feeling it's more we want to make up for what we did rather than
exactly.
what they
did. I think you're right. But I think that's revenge.
Okay.
You want to avenge? You want to change the revenge to avenge?
Well, just, you know, let's play, you know.
Okay.
Some sort of venge?
Let's prove to ourselves that we can beat this team, that we are the better team.
Not in our house, buddy. Not today.
Or even a good team at week three and just haven't gotten lucky and played two crappy teams to start the year. That's another concern.
Well, they're building. I mean, obviously next week I think is the tougher test. I agree with Tom. I think they are going to win this game fairly easily. I don't think they'll score 40 points, but I think the margin of victory will be...
I took it down to 38. I didn't care for that Gostkowski kick last week, so instead of having them have two field goals, I got them with one.
So I think they'll win by at least two scores. At least two scores.
Should I make my pick here?
Go ahead.
I will take the New England Patriots to roll relatively comfortably. As I said, I think somewhere in the second quarter, they really take control of the game and just go from there. Once they've shut down the running game, once they're coming after, you know, maybe they'll run this new thing that no one's ever heard of, the 11-up blitz, and run it all right at Jake Plummer.
who
the new phrase,
that?
The 11-up?
Who introduced that?
It's the 11-up.
Bill had mentioned it in the press conference yesterday.
It wasn't a certain writer.
It was a certain writer.
It was certain.
Someone
put it this way. He said it like this.
Bill, the 11-up. You said up, right?
Then
correct? I'm from the Boston Globe.
Then he asked Brady five times about the 11-up defense.
Well, that's not who I was talking about.
Anyway. Who were you talking about?
BB. Yeah.
Anyway, they roll. Defense leads them to victory, and then the offense kind of comes in afterwards and gets the points they need. Chad Jackson. Big week.
Deal, though, with this hamstring with him and Gabriel?
It's the injury report. I don't care. He played last week. He looked fine. He was running all over the place. I have no reason to believe he took a step backwards, so I assume he's out there early and often, running deep down the middle of the field, wide open again. This time he catches the ball. First career 100-yard game. Patriots roll.
Okay.
He changes his tune a lot, doesn't he?
No, I told you the other day. I was.
He likes to make fun of everybody for them. No matter what happens the next week, he can say he was right.
What do you mean? I picked the Patriots. I said his first career 100-yard game.
But you've also called him a bust. So regardless of what happens, you're going to be right.
I've come into some new information. I found out that he works so hard, he's dragging Tom Brady on the field before games because Brady has grown so complacent that he doesn't warm up anymore.
How laughable, by the way, was that story? That we had, you know, that had to be made like a big deal.
That was interesting.
God.
You know, I've picked against the Patriots twice since I've worked here, and until an amazing play by Jericho Cotchery, the scores of that game was a combined 52-0. So I will only pick against the Patriots one other time this year. That, of course, will be next week. It might not be 38-10. I put that score out there just because I think the Patriots will be relatively in control of the game. I don't think the game will ever be in much doubt. I just don't think the Broncos can run the football on them. When they can't run it, they can't roll out, they can't bootleg. Patriots win comfortably.
Do you think this is the game that ends the season for Jake Plummer?
If he has a terrible, terrible outing, you'll see Jay Cutler relatively soon, I would think.
Paul?
Yeah, I think you might be right. I think a lot of the reasons that Tom just gave are the reasons why I think the Patriots will win. I don't see Denver being able to run the ball to their normal levels of, you know, what they normally do. So I think I don't think it's going to be as easy. I'm looking maybe 24-13, something in that, and I think that the Patriots will score last.
It will be a tight game.
Well, I think they might have like a 21-13 lead, and the game's never really, you know, they have that lead. You know, kind of like the Patriots lost in Denver. It was 28-20, but the game was never in doubt.
One-score game. What do you want?
Yeah, I know. I think the Patriots are going to win this game. I don't say it's going to be a blowout. I think they're going to win the game fairly easily, but not like you guys think.
That
the Denver Lions will not even show up.
The difference between this year and last year's game in the playoffs, as far as the Patriots picking up the blitz and giving Brady time, would you say it's all about the running game for New England?
I think it's a big part.
Yeah.
You know, getting the running game going, getting Maroney going.
And according to Bill, the shot he tried to take at, you know, Tom Ashworth the other day for, you know, the runaway rusher from the left side, they're better off now.
Tom
Ashworth not there.
Was like almost dead before that game.
It's true, too, which makes it even more embarrassing that
dog.
We continue to throw him under the bus for that play.
Interesting.
I noticed that. The rain thing, if it rains a lot, you know, I think that might favor
your Corey. Let's talk about that. The forecast
the Corey Dillon, you know, I think he's a better mutter. Lack of a better term, than Tatum Bell, probably.
Definitely slows down the Broncos more than it slows down the Patriots.
Their
type of running game.
Lawrence Maroney has become a pretty key factor in this running game,
yeah,
and I think he would like
ahead.
A fast
style
throw.
Is, you know.
Have, you know, he relies on quickness and cutting, and so does Tatum Bell.
Right.
I couldn't tell you anything about Mike Bell, so I'm not going to...
I could tell you stuff, but apparently it was all wrong, I thought.
So don't listen to us.
I'm not going to try to explain to you his running style.
Our misses. We like to promote all our hits on draft and combine stuff.
Certainly do, Andy.
That Mike Bell one won't be something we'll be churning out.
As far as the field goes, the Patriots here at Gillette Stadium, the Rolling Stones had their concert last night. That was a huge, you know,
were you
stage.
Here for that?
Yeah.
How was it?
Yeah, it was all right.
So the middle of the stage rolled out in the...
Yeah, it was pretty
back,
cool.
Where were you?
Up high.
Were you in the suite?
Yeah. Not theirs. Another one. We entertain guests for our other thing. We're actually in Channel 5 suite.
Secret Project X?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
But anyway,
I was like, what was
I haven't seen the field since they took up the Terraplast on the stage. Anyone
seen
the field?
Well, there's still a huge stage out
there. Yeah, it's still taking it down.
So it's going to be a mess. And they have a Revolution game Saturday night.
And rain. The field's going to be as ugly as it's ever looked.
The field is going to be a mess. So
and just the way they like it.
John Rooks here. He's going to be joining you.
Those might not work, John. I think the battery died.
At 2 o'clock. You can still use them without the battery, right?
Believe it or not, it works.
Yeah.
Then it was just me.
Andy, I am electronically challenged heart.
John, how you
That's
doing?
That's me.
Excellent, Fred.
Yeah.
Excellent. And you're right. The field is going to be it'll be a part of the story this week. There's no doubt. With the concert last night, and you got the soccer game on Saturday, and the rain in the forecast. Oh, it ought to be a, you know.
Just the way Belichick likes us, right?
Sloppy.
Everybody here thinks it's going to be a relative easy to a blowout type.
Well, he does too, but he likes the Broncos.
I'm asking.
You like
John.
The Broncos in this game?
No. Oh. He's never seen a more overrated player than Lawrence Maroney, he said.
Did I say that?
Oh, I saw you.
Basically, I paraphrased.
No. John, I saw an email that came into the show from you.
Yeah.
Very testy,
well,
I have to
say.
This
is what Andy does, John. You got to get used to it.
Very testy.
Normally, that's
because
me.
Nobody,
I'm normally the punching
It's because
man.
These guys clearly have their own agenda, and they don't listen to what somebody's saying,
well,
Fred.
Well, that's generally Fred's
idea. Our agenda was to toss you a softball about how great Lawrence Maroney was, and you come back with, let's hold off a little bit.
Andy, I said that Tom Brady won't play another game this year.
You did say that.
Okay.
Because he left Giant Stadium in a
I listened
police
to you,
car.
You said Texas would beat Ohio State.
That's right. No. What's the original question here? What are you trying to hammer me on?
There was no question.
We're just making fun of you.
For being Mr. Negative.
That's nice.
How am I Mr. Negative? Somebody has to balance you guys out because, you know, you're all suck-ups around here.
Fred's
really
the only suck-up on this show.
Really
God forbid, I really respect what they've done the last 5 years.
I listen to Belichick tell me that it doesn't matter what they've done in the past.
That's right. And
we
he's right.
That it does.
Well, I got to listen to Belichick on
thought
this.
Bill, you
I have
to side with us to go against the
Bill,
coach.
I have to side with Bill.
I thought Bill had a plan.
I have to side with Bill in that one, Paul. I think we're on the same side here. You know, it's great to have. It's great for the legacy. It's wonderful. It establishes you as a viable entity in the National Football League. But does what happened in the last 5 years have anything to do with what happens on the field this year?
Well, you know, if that's the case, if history has no, you know, value, then why scout a player?
Does history have a lot of value?
Absolutely.
Okay, then I'm going to just show you just how much of an FROD fraud Fred is here. F-R-O-D. You know, in the last five times the Patriots have played the Broncos, they've lost four of them, right?
Absolutely.
So why doesn't that have anything to do with anything? You picking the
why
ball,
is this going
to
be an easy win?
Out.
Because I think the Patriots are better this year.
Okay. So doesn't matter what happened the last 5 years then.
Well,
it's called revisionist history.
Better than they've ever been.
So you don't look at history at all?
Of course you look at history.
Yes,
you look at it all. I'm just trying to say you can't just say that because of the last 5 years means they're going to win every game in the next 5 years.
There's a difference between past history and recent history. There's a difference.
Absolutely.
Okay? In other words, if you're talking about scouting players, I mean, it's pretty obvious.
The Red Sox would have never won the World Series if you're, you know, history, you know.
Sure. Absolutely. What are you guys laughing about now?
I said,
Fred.
If Fred ever picks against the Patriots on this show, I can't run to the bookie fast enough.
I don't think there has been one. I don't think there's been one since the 2000 season.
That's not true. I was wrong last year.
You
when
picked
I
the Steelers, it. Didn't you, against
yeah,
them?
Yeah.
You did
my
pick
first
against
week here, yeah.
I'll go back and look at that notebook.
That's before I knew who Fred was, and I thought he was actually being objective. I couldn't believe it.
I was trying to be. I was trying to be, and it screwed me because the Patriots
Fred
won.
Fred went 15-1 last week in his picks.
15-1?
Yeah. And you know,
what
the
was
one,
the one?
The one loss, he threw it. He knew that Buffalo was a better team than Miami before the game.
You went against Buffalo?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Miami's horrible.
Well,
they're
so
just bad.
So is Buffalo.
Buffalo's not much better, but Buffalo's at least got a defense.
As is evidenced
right
by them squeaking by 16-6.
Oh, excuse me. Did you hear what he just said?
No,
why
I didn't. I was talking.
Buffalo's got a defense right now.
Nah, I guess.
That's all they got.
Yeah, terrible defense.
That was pretty funny how that unfolded.
Paul, I think their front four is a lot better than what you're giving them credit for.
Can't stop the run.
He'll never say.
The
he'll never
so what? That's all they needed to do against Miami was stop the run.
They can't stop the run.
Sure they did.
Against Miami?
Yeah.
They blitzed Culpepper to death.
And that didn't help
stop
the run?
That's how they won the game. They got three turnovers. That's how they won the game.
Ronnie Brown get on the ground?
Well, they were behind. They couldn't run.
It's useless, John. He'll never, ever give this up.
I think the Dolphins defense gave up one big play this season. But other than that, I don't think he can really fault them for what's happened. I think you can
by the way, this both, weekend, both I do think the
because
Patriots
I don't
will
agree
win
with Fred. That Buffalo's defense
well,
is the second coming of the
either.
Ravens.
I do think
so
the Patriots.
That's what I've said now.
The Patriots but will win the game this weekend, but I think we all forget that Denver has been a royal pain in the
absolutely
Patriots side. I don't think it'll be Fred a blowout. I do think it will be close. I do think it'll be relatively low scoring because both teams like to run the ball.
I think Jake Plummer stinks.
I think you're right. We'll agree on that one.
Some more great analysis.
I've been saying that for years and years and years, and like my Johnny Damon thing, sooner or later I'll be right on Johnny
Paul's
Damon.
Just
that
mad
he
at everybody because we don't
Plummer
have gigs.
Well,
Paul
I think
has
you're
radio
a little
and TV gigs.
What did I tell
you?
I
think you're fine.
Andy, we know.
With
tell
the
you
whole Jake Plummer
so anything we say can't be worth anything.
You're missing it. You're missing it.
Can't be worth anything. But if Paul says it, well, I'm on Fox and I'm.
I've lost an argument, so let's take the focus off of me.
So if I say it, it's worth something because I'm on all these
there
other
you go
shows.
You're
all right, that's gonna do it for this edition of BMW in Progress. Maybe we'll be here tomorrow. Stay tuned for John Rook.
Maybe.